quite likely by this afternoon. The high should be in the mid-90s. The highest heat index is supposed to be around 107 by late morning, early afternoon. For this evening, cooler, occasional showers and thunderstorms, low in the mid-60s. And then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning and early afternoon, and becoming partly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 82 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 83. Stay tuned for Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Hi, I'm Bob Vila. If you like to get your hands dirty working in the yard or gardening, you should know that you could get a serious, even fatal disease, tetanus. Because all it takes is an open wound, a scratch, a cut, or even a small splinter. And the tetanus bacteria in this, the soil in your yard. Maybe you were vaccinated as a child, but childhood vaccines wear off. Maybe you wear gloves to help reduce injuries, but you need a routine shot every 10 years to prevent both tetanus and diphtheria, another potentially fatal disease. So get the TD booster shot. Contact your healthcare provider to find out if your vaccination is up to date. If it's been 10, do it again. A public service message from the National Foundation for Infectious Diseases and this station. To learn more, visit www.nfid.org.
In the good old summertime, your thoughts are probably not on school, especially if you're going to be a senior in the St. Louis High School system. In your daydreaming, picture a positive future. And when you get back to school, visit your Educational Talent Search counselor for information on planning for your future. Educational Talent Search is a program offering free services on staying in school, graduating, and going on to post-secondary education. All of this is to help you prepare for a better future. The Educational Talent Search program is easily accessible through your St. Louis City High School counselor.
This is the sound of an AK-47 being fired at you. This is the sound of a rocket-propelled grenade headed your way. This is the sound of a bullet ricocheting off your helmet. This is the sound of an anti-personnel landmine exploding underneath you. This is the sound of a car bomb exploding less than a block away. And this?
These people don't believe George W. Bush would be talking about.
That's the sound of people who have never heard these sounds arguing about something they know absolutely nothing about. Maybe we should start listening to the people who were there. Go to optruth.org to find out how you can really help support our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan. Operation Truth. We were there.
Since 1977, Home Services, Inc. has helped St. Louis's disabled and elderly residents stay in their own homes longer. From repairing and modifying homes in the area to keeping neighborhoods safe, Home Services, Inc. has been there for thousands. If you or someone you know needs accessibility, safety, or weatherization improvements to their home, call 314-531-9779. If you would like to make a financial contribution to this nonprofit organization, send it to Home Services, Inc., 3755 Forest Park Avenue, St. Louis, Missouri, 63108.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this go? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brothers, how can this go?
Use our house. Please do not beg us to love, peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I remember saying that part was a gene made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Good morning. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the morning wake-up call. Oh, this is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax and my toll. Free long distance number 1-877-920-WGNU, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Get there if you missed an hour. Go get an hour. LizBrown.com, Revolution@LizBrown.com. Those are my digits. You need to get to me. Whoo! I don't know. Where we start? What do we do? Where are we going? Oh my goodness. Ooh, where are we going? What are we doing? I know we're going to be talking about the St. Louis Public Schools Watch tomorrow. And there's some interesting news out of there. Of course, none of it is good. It wouldn't be the St. Louis Public Schools if there was good news coming out of it. But there is a kind of a lesson there. And there is kind of a lesson there. The lesson from the St. Louis Public Schools is that, you know what? Y'all need to organize, and y'all need to keep fighting. Because I've seen the movie, read the T-shirts, seen the bumper stickers. Devil doesn't take a vacation. Okay? The devil doesn't take a vacation. And when the devil can't handle all of their work, that's what they call devils. What's that word? Minions. So they got people on the job 24/7. The devil doesn't take a vacation. They will pick you off one at a time. There are people that are out there that are absolutely stunned. They're stunned. And maybe people just don't want to fight. And I was told by a good friend of mine, once you learn that when you're fighting, and everybody loses a fight every once in a while. Now you just get knocked down. That's all you do. You just get knocked down. All you got to do is get back up. Once you learn that you just got to get back up, it's okay to fight. You learn that it's okay to fight. Now, what's the connection? We're always at war here. You have things of value. Even though you may think that you don't have much, fact of the matter is you lock your front door when you walk out anyway, don't you? You lock your front door when you walk out anyway, even if you think you don't have much. Because you don't want to lose anything. Okay? Locking your door is another way of fighting, is another way of saying that what you have is precious and you want it to be protected and it's yours. You got to fight for your stuff. You got to fight for your stuff. And I say this because I am observant as always. I am watching these Democrats of ours, these American Democrats that are supposed to be protecting the other side of the aisle. There are two sides of the aisle in America. There's the Republican side of the aisle, and there's this Democratic side of the aisle. That's just the fact. With one independent in the Senate, and he's not there anymore. So the fact of the matter is there are two sides. Each one has a responsibility to fight for their issues. And it seems, and it appears, and it is of my concern that, you know what, dang. It's like y'all are just happy not to have to for real fight over this presidential judicial appointment. Y'all just are happy, joy. And let me show you, happy, joy that you don't have to fight. Let me tell you about another fight that they are advocating. All our stuff is precious, y'all. Everything we have is worth fighting for. Next week, there are going to be confirmation hearings on the nomination of Representative Christopher Cox, Republican of Newport Beach, to lead the Securities and Exchange Commission. And the fact of the matter is that these hearings offer a perfect opportunity to decry Wall Street's looting of Main Street and put the Republican Party on trial for creating conditions under which corporate criminals got over, flourished like a big dog. Who is Christopher Cox? A right-wing Republican who in 1995 wrote the law making it harder for investors to take corporate thieves to jail. You want to know why they don't go to jail? Because the laws are written for them. Just like, remember when rape laws were written for the rapist? That the woman had to get up there and they could ask her any kind of questions about her sexual history and make her the object of prosecution as opposed to the accused rapist. Why? Because the laws were written like that. Why can't you do that anymore? Because the laws have been written to protect her more so. Corporate criminals get away with it because they have big friends in government that write the laws to protect them. Check this out. Cox wrote the Private Securities Litigation Reform Act. See how they play with your head? Litigation reform. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it? That sounds good. Them nasty old lawyers. Litigation reform. It became law over Bill Clinton's veto and has been blamed for allowing some of the nation's worst financial scandals, including Enron and WorldCom, to proceed unchecked. The law allowed corporate executives off the hook for exactly the kind of utterly misleading statements that Kenny Boy Lay made to keep his company stock price artificially high. Cox is the poster child for the laissez-faire corporate country club Republicans, how they stole your stuff, trillions of dollars. Cox reported, voted repeatedly for the interest of Wall Street investment houses to undermine the conflict of interest standards protecting investors and pension plans. He's voted against Post, after Enron, he voted against proposals that would require executives to certify their financial statements, to strip bonuses from CEOs who falsify statements. He voted against laws to keep stock analysts from holding shares in the companies that they cover. You understand? The people that tell you what stocks to buy are now allowed to have stock in that stock in that company. They didn't used to be allowed to do that because it's a little thing called what's that word? Conflict of interest. Used to be that. But once a lady of the evening, always a lady of the evening. Cox has collected. His corner, he works his corner pretty good now. He's gotten $250,000 from securities and investment from the securities and investment industry that he soon may be regulating. Oh, he's good. As a lady of the evening, he working it. His campaign have collected $250,000 from the security and investment industries that he will soon be regulating. WorldCom was the 10th biggest contributor to Cox in 2002, the year that the auditors revealed the company's fraud. Dang. And it's not just what he does as a United States senator. And you know, where are the Democrats at on this? Why are they going to let him lead? Why are they going to let him lead the Securities and Exchange Commission? The Securities and Exchange Commission. He was a private securities attorney in the mid-80s. Cox was. He worked for William Cooper and his company, First Pension Corporation. Cooper was accused of running a Ponzi scheme and convicted of fraud and imprisoned. After Cooper was caught, Cox, then he was a congressman, said, "I didn't know he was doing that. I don't know he was doing that." He was sued by his investors, and the law firm settled the case. So the question you should be asking yourself is why aren't the Democrats saying anything? Quid pro quo. The Democrats have two choices to fill the party's seats in the 5-member SEC. That's why they're going to be quiet. And now the Bush has said, okay, we'll take your two people. These are scary times. Everybody, you know, y'all should be fighting. Ain't no such thing as quid pro quo for criminals. That makes you a criminal, too. Oh, Lord. My name is Liz Brown. We're going to take a break. My number here is 454-0400 is my phone number. Fax 454-6609. Email revolution@lizbrown.com. We've got so much stuff to talk about. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Manchester between Holloway and Birchwood, there's a water main work going on there, and only one lane is open in both directions getting by. Northbound 55 between Route M and Loughborough, no problems reported. Eastbound 40 between Clarkson and Brentwood Boulevard, look for nothing to report there. Eastbound 44 from Williams all the way to Merrimack River Bridge, look for no problems report. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44, everything is on the move. Westbound 270 from Riverview to Washington Elizabeth, expect normal traffic. Westbound 5570 to Poplar Street Bridge, everything seems to be rolling along steady. Westbound 64 to 5570 split looks good. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side to the landing is running smoothly. Northbound Illinois Route 3 from Poplar to onto the Poplar Street Bridge, no problems to report there. Churchill at Newcastle, there's a burst water main. That's in North County, and there's maybe some traffic delays there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Employee pricing is a good idea, but vehicles like this, it's pure genius. Now everyone gets the employee discount plus generous cash allowances on select models. See your participating Chrysler dealer for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and what we have is an excessive heat warning that's in effect until 4 p.m. this afternoon. Otherwise hot and humid, mostly sunny in the morning. Then showers and thunderstorms are likely by this afternoon, the high in the mid-90s. The highest heat index is expected to reach around 107 by late morning or early afternoon. This evening, cooler, occasional showers and thunderstorms with a low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning, then early afternoon, then becoming partly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the morning. The high should be around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we're showing 82 degrees. Lambert Field has 83. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The $5,000 homegrown tomato challenge returns to the Missouri Botanical Garden on Saturday, July 30th at the Linnean House Lawn at the Garden, 4344 Shaw Boulevard. Entry forms are now available at any Deerberg, Schnucks, or Shop and Save store in St. Louis. One entry per household. Contestants must bring their tomatoes between 10 and 11 a.m. for judging. No charge for admission with a contest entry. For more information, contact Lisa Brandon at 314-577-5141. Something for gardeners from WGNU.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Wednesday, April 14th, 2004. There's been a lot of criticism about the way Al Arabiya and Al Jazeera were covering the riots and fighting in Fallujah and the south of this last week. Some American spokesman for the military was ranting about the spread of anti-Americanism through networks like the above mentioned. I think Western news networks are far too tame. They show the Hollywood version of war. Strong troops in uniform, hostile Iraqis being captured and made to face justice, and the White House turkey posing with the Thanksgiving turkey. Which is just fine. But what about the destruction that comes with war and occupation? What about the death? I don't mean just the images of dead Iraqis scattered all over, but dead Americans too. People should have to see those images.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem.
Hi, everybody. This is Mike Huss. Join me tonight for Sports Talk right after the 6 o'clock news right here on Radio 920. We'll talk about whatever you want pertaining to the world of sports. You pick the topic, and we'll talk about it. You know we'll have our trivia. You know we'll have some fun. That's Sports Talk. 6:05 tonight, right here on Radio 920.
Congratulations. You found Radio Free St. Louis at AM 920 WGNU. Also online at WGNU.net.
Do they play jazz in heaven? In New Orleans, we know they do.
If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. But if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com, happening every day.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
This is a message to all those who've been trying.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Hi, Liz.
Good morning, Dolores.
The young lady that was killed, they brought her body back this morning.
Mm-hmm.
What I was wondering, now my husband and I was talking about this. This child was a straight-A honor student. What I couldn't understand was why she was in the Army.
Yeah,
because
everybody
know the best branch of service is the Air Force.
Well, I don't know about that, but we talked about this last week. We talked about the fact that she was a straight-A student. We talked about the fact that where were her guidance counselors? Where were her parents? How can you as we said last week, how can you drop a precious load like this? This is a young girl. She wanted to go into the Army. That's cool. But then she should have gone in as an officer. It's not as an enlisted person.
Right. And I think listening to her father, because he said, well, she was determined to follow in his footsteps.
He was a career man
in the Army.
But again, if your child is going to follow in your footsteps, you want your child to do something more than you did. If he was an enlisted person, he should have been encouraging his straight-A student daughter to be an officer.
Yeah.
That way, maybe by the time she finished college, because she could have gone into ROTC. Heck, she could have gone to the Naval Academy. She could have gone to she could have gone to West Point.
Yeah.
Those are the things that should have been encouraged. She should not have been. We're losing our best and our brightest for stupid reasons.
Yeah.
She should have gone. She should have been an officer.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't, you know, look like somebody would have. I don't know.
They dropped the ball. I don't understand how a counselor would not have had that baby in at Hazelwood, in ROTC. And if she wanted to go in the military, there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But you do not let a 19-year-old girl go into enlist in the military during the time of war.
Yeah,
Shoot her in the leg. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is that this 19-year-old girl should have never been over there, and her parents should have stopped it. Her school should have stopped it. Society should have stopped it. And the reason that they didn't, because it's a little black girl.
That's exactly, and at Hazelwood, I'm like you. I would have done something, shot in the leg, before I let my child go over there and die for something, for no reason. This war has gotten so out of control, Liz, that they were saying that the, is it the Taliban or whatever? Anyway, I think it's the United States' fault. The reason why all of this stuff is going on over there now with these bombings.
Of course it is. They didn't happen before Britain and the United States got
That's
there.
Exactly right.
Thanks for your call. 454-0400 is my phone number. Shoot a shot in the leg. And I don't even think it had to come to that. I don't think it had to come to that. I don't think this had to come to that. If your child wants to go into the military, your child is a straight-A student, then you get your child in college, and you get him in ROTC, or you get him in West Point, or you get him in Annapolis, or you get him in some place safer. Because the fact of the matter is that if you were doing due diligence, you know that they're spending 5 minutes in training, and then they're just sending the bodies over there. So your baby's not getting any training. How could your baby get a six-week training on how to fight guerrilla warfare coming right out of high school? How could that happen? How could you know? You don't. This was a precious, precious load that somebody dropped the ball on, or somebody dropped. Shame. Shame, shame, shame. And the other piece of this is that we don't even know how this baby died. A self-inflicted wound that wasn't suicide, and the Army's not telling why, huh? Are they handing out weapons that explode in your hands? Are the weapons so inferior or messed up? They're not offering any, are they blaming the victim here? Did they not give her any training? Was she killed in friendly fire? Like the football player was? They lied about that too. The same Army lied about that, didn't they? How did this baby die? How did this baby die? 19 years old. Shame. Shame. Straight A student. And she's up there handling out Army supplies. And she dead. And she's dead. It's a sin and a shame. Did somebody kill her? We don't know any of that. We don't know any of that. Because they refuse to tell. It's awful. It's awful. Awful. And a sin and a shame. And that's what this war is doing. It's changing people's lives forever. That family will never be the same. Will never be the same. And for what? And for what? Never, ever, ever, ever be the same. Now, we live in a time, and the reason why I'm so suspicious about this baby's death, the reason why you should be so suspicious about this baby's death, the Brazilian baby that was shot down, the 27-year-old baby, Menez, an electrician. He left Brazil to work in Britain so he could return home with enough savings to start a cattle ranch. The police are saying we were justified in sitting on top of him and putting 5 bullets into his head. They're saying that to your face, on the streets of London, in the middle of the day. They're saying we were justified and killing an innocent, murdering an innocent man by sitting on him, not asking him a dang question, putting 5 bullets into his head and executing. We're justified in doing that. So let me ask you this. If the British police can, and the British president, prime minister, can look you in the face and say that that was justified, good God in heaven, what do they justify in Iraq? What do they justify? What devilment do they justify in Iraq? Think on that. That's your assignment. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This be the wake-up call. We have plenty to do, and we're going to get it done. Stay with me.
Wait a minute. You better hold the phone. Better mind your manners. Better change your tone. Don't you threaten me, son. You got a way to go. We're going to do things my way. Oh, we're going to do things at all.
For your calls at WGNU. From the local calling area, just dial 314-454-0400. If you're calling long distance, the toll-free number is 1-877-920-WGNU. If you are calling long distance, from a car phone, or want to use a particular name on the air, please let us know when you call. Get into Talk Radio with a Difference. That's Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920, WGNU.
Akbar Electric. Commercial, Industrial, Residential, 3737 North Kings Highway, 382-2568, 382-2568. Any and all electrical installation and rehab, basic service installation, light fixtures, dusk to dawn lighting, motion sensors, no job is too big, no job is too small. 35 years of experience. Akbar Electric. Give them a call, 382-2568.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline, Washington. Leaders of the Democratic Party are expressing worry over the fracture of unions in the AFL-CIO. Yesterday, the Teamsters and the Service Employees International Union announced they're pulling their 3.2 million members out of the Federation because they feel the mainstream leadership is now out of touch with the needs of today's workers. The Democrats rely extensively on unions for money and volunteers, and there is fear that this may allow Republicans to make significant gains in an area that has almost forever been a Democratic stronghold. In last year's presidential election, people from union households made up 24% of the vote, and they chose Democrat John Kerry over President Bush by a 3-2 margin. And Dateline Atlanta. In an effort to keep America from forgetting the past, a number of activists did a dramatic recreation of the lynching of four black people in Georgia in 1946. The case has remained unsolved to this day, and the organizers of the event are hoping that in light of recent convictions for civil rights killings, the federal government might see fit to step in and take another look at the country's last public mass lynching. The incident took place on a bridge over the Apalachee River on July 25, 1946, near Monroe, Georgia. Two young black couples were riding with a white farmer they worked for when about two dozen white men stopped the car on the bridge. The two black men were dragged out of the car, beaten, shot, and then hung. Their wives were also killed when the men realized they might be able to identify them. The lynching apparently was a carryover from a run-in one of the black men had had with his landlord just a few days before. He had been arrested for stabbing him. Ironically, the other black man who was lynched had just returned from fighting for this country in World War II. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge, and most importantly, the discipline, to make conscious, healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Hi, I'm Frank. The pedestrian you passed back there? You didn't even notice me. But why should you? Well, I could
pop out in front of you when you least expect it. It could be a kid chasing a dog. Of course, I try to be safe. I use crosswalks, look both ways, and make eye contact with drivers. But either of us could make a mistake. So let's, you know, look out for each other.
A message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons. For more information, visit AAOS.org.
Starting your day with information you can't get anywhere else. It's the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Why don't we
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Hundreds of friends and relatives of the young Brazilian Jean-Charles de Menez, who was murdered in London. Hundreds of them gathered in his homeland, demanding the arrest of the British police who fired the fatal shots. Some of the protesters held banners denouncing the British police as the real terrorists. Others held signs demanding that Tony Blair send the body home so it can be buried. Apologies don't help. We want justice, they chanted. His killing, his murder, has been the top story on radio and television broadcasts since Sunday. In London, Foreign Minister Celso Amorim said he had instructions from the President of Brazil to take firm measures to defend the interest of a family of the Brazilian who died in an absurd manner. There are protesters that have scheduled protests in front of the British Embassy and the consulate in Rio de Janeiro. The protesters are saying that Menendez was assassinated in cold blood, a victim of intolerance. Gonzaga's mayor, outraged over the news that he was shot 7 times in the head and once in the shoulder, called the killing an assassination. It's easy for Blair to apologize, but it doesn't mean very much, said Mayor Julio de Souza. What happened to English justice and England, a place where the police patrol unarmed? Many people were still angry that there was still no word on when the body would be shipped back to Gonzaga, a central Brazilian town of 6,000. Culture and ritual require that in Brazil they bury their dead no later than 24 hours after a person dies. We don't want apologies. He's ours and he should be here. The family is not consoled by apologies. His apologies don't ease our pain. He's not saying anything about punishing the police who did this. It's more like he's supporting them. Menendez was killed in a London subway. They chased him down and fired 7 bullets into him. He was wearing a padded coat when plainclothes cops chased him into a subway, pinned him to the ground, and shot 7 bullets into him. 7 bullets into his head. The British police, or the British, the BBC is saying that his visa had expired. His family is saying he was working legally in Britain and had no reason to run. Now, the BBC reported that his visa had expired, but at a joint news conference, the Brazilian embassy had told him that Menendez was living legally in England. And Jack Straw said, as far as he knew, that he was also living there legally. Souza, the mayor of Gonzaga, said that the root cause of Menendez's death was Blair's decision to back the U.S.-led invasion of Iraq. Gonzaga has nothing to do with terrorism, and now Gonzaga has been hit. Jean could have come back here and become a father, but now we'll never have a chance to have him with us again. They say that the police were entitled to shoot an unarmed man in the back, in the head, 7 times without asking a single question. Are you scared yet? Are you scared yet? Are you scared yet? They say it is legal to shoot an unarmed man in the back, in the head, 7 times, and not ask him a single question. That's what they're saying. That's how far they're saying they can go. Are you scared yet? Are you scared yet? They're saying that things are so bad that they can do that, be justified in it, and y'all need to take it. Scary times. Scary times. You're on the wake-up call.
You know, Liz, a caller used to quote that Vietnam War saying, kill them all, let God sort them out. But they showed on the TV these huge sandstorms that are over there, and it covers the entire sky. It's like the old Dust Bowl, and so a weapon with that flowing into it, it may have exploded. These are some of the most inhumane weather that American soldiers have ever faced. It's as hot as it is today, 8 months a year, and they got 75 pounds of equipment on. Thank you very much, Liz.
Ben, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. I don't think it's a weapons malfunction. They would have been the first to say if it was.
Mm.
And even when a weapon explodes, when a rifle explodes, the round still goes down range. It doesn't go back at you.
Mm.
It doesn't fire. The gun doesn't fire backwards.
Mm.
Now, what it was somebody thought, like they did about the man in London, that young lady was some kind of insurgent. And probably, if the sand had anything to do with it, it probably clouded the visions of some jittery sentry. And he fired before he got a confirmation on his target. The insurgents and Al-Qaeda is getting bolder.
Yes, they are. They are in bolder.
George Bush stands up there and talks about the progress they're making on the war on terror. Yeah, they're progressing all right. Whose progress is he talking about?
Gotta go.
The eyes of the terrorists.
Gotta go. Thank you, Ben. I'm Liz Brown. Wake up call. Be back after the news. Stay with us.
920 on your AM dial, WGNU. Granite City, St. Louis.
Of the Space Shuttle Discovery, ABC Stephanie Tsai tells us some high-level guests are at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida to watch.
First Lady Laura Bush tops the list of VIP guests that will be here to watch the launch. We should also mention that the families of the fallen astronauts from Columbia and Challenger will be here to witness the return to flight.
As for the faulty fuel sensor that prompted the scrub of the last launch attempt, NASA Administrator Michael Griffin says it's passed initial tests today.
We're comfortable flying if we see what we saw before. If we see something new, it's a scrub.
NASA Control says the weather is a go.
Weather continues to hold. We're at an 80% chance of having acceptable weather for launch this morning.
Launch time is set for 10:39 a.m. Eastern Time. The countdown continues. The investigation continues into the Egyptian resort bombings. ABC's Aaron Katursky is live in Sharm el-Sheikh with the latest.
Karen Workman scavenged through the debris of the Gazala Gardens Hotel, site of the deadliest bomb. They're looking for clues and human remains. Egyptian officials say the bombings here and three blasts 8 months ago at another Red Sea resort are similar, but it's too early to say who's responsible, Karen.
ABC's Aaron Katursky live in Egypt. The blistering heat wave continues across much of the U.S. People in New Orleans say they're sweating it out, literally.
At night, I sweat completely out. It's like I wake up dehydrated in the morning.
The 5 days-long heat wave is blamed for dozens of deaths, including at least 22 in Phoenix. The tragic deaths of four leaders have cast a pall over the annual Boy Scout Jamboree in Virginia.
Within scouting, we're all a family. All of us are hurting as a result of this unfortunate accident. We are providing chaplaincy support and grief counseling for those who need it.
Jamboree spokeswoman Renee Ferrer says the four leaders from a troop in Alaska were killed when their tent pole hit a power line. This is ABC News.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
For the first time ever on ABC, it's the CMA Music Festival, the only event where you can get up close and personal with your favorite country music stars. With amazing performances by Big and Rich, Dolly Parton, Rascal Flatts, Trisha Yearwood, and many more. The CMA Music Festival, your front row seat to country music's biggest party.
It's the Super Bowl, the World Cup, it's the World Series of country music.
Tuesday, August 2nd at 9, 8 Central, only on ABC.
A major labor organization, the largest in America, just got smaller. The Teamsters and Service Employees International are leaving their umbrella organization, the AFL-CIO. ABC's Gloria Riviera explains.
There is certainly no shortage of drama on this story. Just as the AFL-CIO is beginning to celebrate its 50th anniversary, the president's one-time protege, Andrew Stern, succeeded in leading a breakaway faction away from the group. This is the biggest rift in organized labor since 1930. That one was eventually mended. This one seems to be more permanent.
And some analysts say it could mark a major weakening of labor power in general. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas in July at the annual World Santa Claus Congress in Copenhagen. St. Nick's from 10 countries kicked off a 3-day convention in Denmark that includes a parade and a chimney climbing contest. Later, the Santas visit a children's hospital, take a dip in the ocean, and draft proposals to improve their working conditions, like standardizing chimney widths. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, St. Louis City officials want to help residents stay safe in the heat. Among the programs offered to city residents is the Are You OK program for the elderly and disabled, in which someone makes check-in calls every day and checks in person if 3 phone calls go unanswered. Elderly and disabled St. Louis City residents can call 314-289-1988 to join the free program. The St. Louis City Sheriff's Department is now accepting applications for concealed weapons permits. Applicants must be 23 years old, have passed a firearms course, and show a valid city ID. There is a $100 application fee. Anyone with a felony conviction, a full order of protection, or two DWI offenses in the last 2 years is ineligible for a permit. To schedule an appointment with the St. Louis Sheriff's Department, call 314-613-7150. If all goes as planned, the Space Shuttle Discovery will launch into orbit at 9:38 this morning. This will be the second time NASA has tried to launch the shuttle. The launch was scrubbed earlier this month due to a faulty fuel sensor. Doug King, the president of the St. Louis Science Center, says today's launch needs to be perfectly timed.
It's not that you can't launch at other times, but that's the only time you can reach the destination. The space station is in orbit overhead, and it comes by in exactly the right place to catch up with it for 5 brief minutes. And if the shuttle doesn't launch in those 5 minutes, it can't get there that day.
This is the first NASA space shuttle launch since the Columbia tragedy 2 years ago. Part of the purpose of this mission is to restock the space station, which NASA has not been able to do for 2 years. Finally this hour, the Cardinals will likely place outfielder Larry Walker on the 15-day disabled list today with a herniated disc in his neck. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch reports Walker took a third cortisone injection yesterday to help ease the pain in his neck, which has bothered him all season. The Redbirds are expected to call up outfielder John Gull, who has hit .270 with 10 homers and 47 RBIs at AAA Memphis this season. If Walker is shelved today, the Cards will have half of their regular position players on the DL. Catcher Yadier Molina, third baseman Scott Rowland, and outfielder Reggie Sanders are all currently sidelined because of injuries. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Employee pricing is a good idea, but with vehicles like this, it's pure genius. Now everyone gets the employee discount plus generous cash allowances on select models. See your participating Chrysler dealer for details. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Manchester between Holloway and Birchwood did water main work. Only one lane is getting by in both directions. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchard Bridge. Look for road construction. Only the left lanes are getting through now. And traffic is backed up from Zumbo all the way to 5th Street. Northbound 55 between Richardson and Bayless, no problems there. Eastbound 40 is busy from Maryville all the way to Mason Road. Northbound 270 at 44, look for normal traffic this hour. Westbound 270 from Bell Fountain all the way into New Forest, and everything is on the move there as well. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lindbergh, look for normal traffic. Westbound 40 between 270 and Brentwood, everything's running smoothly. Westbound 55-70 split from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. You've got stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 at the ramp to northbound 55-70 looks good. And westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Laclede's Landing, everything's on the move. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. The third annual Ultimate Cardinals Experience is September 7th. Watch the Cards play the Cubs and help McDonald's raise money for UNICEF. Call 314-421-5958 or visit McDonaldsstl.com. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow, an excessive heat wave is in effect until 4 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, hot and humid, mostly sunny in the morning, then chance for showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. High in the mid-90s, the highest heat index is expected to reach around 107 by later this morning or early this afternoon. This evening, cooler, occasional showers and thunderstorms, the low in the mid-60s. Moving on to Wednesday, mostly cloudy once again. In the morning, a chance for afternoon showers is possible because it will become partly cloudy, a 40% chance to be exact, and a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 83 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 84. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's up next. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. I'm looking at a couple of things, I'm looking at about, I say this frequently. Some may say I say it all the time. It's not about the crime, it's about those who stand accused of the crime. There are many people that are listening to these airwaves this morning, listening to the Wake Up Call. Visiting on the Wake Up Call on WhiteRoseSociety.org, and as you listen, you just take a step back for a second. I want you to remember what it was like in the 80s, the early 80s, when crack got a foothold in America, thanks, of course, to our good government bringing it over and devastating communities. And I want you to think about it at its very, very worst, at the very worst time for crack cocaine and the devastating impact on communities. I want you to think about that. What it was like. They say that about gangs, about families being devastated, about young people getting hooked on crack, And 20 years later, they're still hooked on crack. Babies being born to crack addicted mothers. Young men being just herded into, like cattle into the criminal justice system. There were crack units. People going to jail for decades of time for having half a rock on them. Everybody was trying to get all of these crack users, cocaine toting, smoking, ingesting folks into jail. And any time that they passed laws that said that these enhanced laws of drug possession, that if you were possessing drugs within 100 feet of a 1,000 feet of a school, you could get enhanced drug time. Okay, enhanced time. They weren't playing, were they? Or were they? Just for, you could be in an apartment building, one adult at midnight selling a rock of cocaine to another adult. And if your apartment building was across the street from a school, you could be charged with the crime of selling drugs 1,000 feet from a school, even though you're selling it to an adult. It's at midnight, school's closed in the summertime, and you're in an apartment building. That's how crazy these drug laws were to get crack out of our community. I'm looking at this story on the front page of the paper. Sikeston, Missouri. When children drop in for a dental checkup or cleaning, Dr. Gail Redmond usually ends the appointment with the reminder to brush and floss regularly. But recently she's added something: whatever you do, don't do meth. Rural dentists are talking about people coming in, children coming in, adults coming into their offices with what they're calling meth mouth. They even got a name for it, meth mouth. The decay is striking, the dentists say. The cavities appear black, much darker than the discoloration found on teeth of smokers or any other drug users. Their teeth just start falling out their mouths. Falling out their mouths. The dentists say when these people smile at you, you're shocked. All you can do is cringe because it's so nasty. Just nasty. My point, my concern, my observation, my question about this is, and they show this nasty old picture in the paper of these meth mouths. This is not a black baby's mouth they're prying open and showing nasty teeth. This is Sikeston, Missouri. The dentist said, and I quote, "It looks like you told a person to stand up and you took a sledgehammer to their mouth." That's how bad it is. That's according to a dentist. Little is known about what causes meth mouth, aside from using meth. Well, here's the thing. Dr. John Sauer, a dentist in Cape Girardeau, said he once diagnosed a teenage drug problem through her teeth. The incident occurred when he worked at a clinic in New Madrid. A 16-year-old went from one cavity to 18 cavities bunched along the gum line a year and a half later. I went to the mom and I asked her if she noticed anything unusual about her daughter. The mother admitted to having trouble controlling her daughter, and later, in private, the teen admitted to using meth. Now, here's my thing. Nowhere in this article, and it's a rather long article, it starts on the front page of the Post-Dispatch. and jumps to the A4 section of the Post-Dispatch. Not once in this article does the word police appear. Not once in this article is there a legislator barking out the orders that if a dentist sees a person coming into their clinic with meth mouth, they need to call the cops. Not once is there a word in here by a law enforcement official saying if a dentist sees a 15-year-old, 16-year-old with meth mouth, they need to pick up the phone and call the cops. There isn't one single thing about putting meth mouth babies in jail for 20, 30, 40 years. There's not one single word about that. Why that? Why that? You think if there was such a thing as crack mouth, dentists all over the city of St. Louis, dentists all over the state would be saying, put them in jail once you see crack mouth. Instead, they make it a story about how tough this is on dentists, as opposed to a criminal story about let's get these babies in jail that got meth mouth. Dental schools are beginning to add instruction about meth mouth to the curriculum. Do you hear what I'm saying? At the University of Missouri at Kansas City School of Dentistry, Dr. Chris Rice said he's developing a presentation about meth mouth for this fall's first-year students, as opposed to just saying no, picking up the phone and saying, get the cops over here. We got a drug-addicted, drug-using, illegal drug-using person. Let's put him in jail. We're going to add it to the curriculum, and we're going to try to understand this. Oh, Lord. Is it about the crime? Or is it about those that stand accused of the crime? I'm just asking. Car phone.
How you doing, Liz?
I'm outstanding.
Yeah, I agree. I can't believe it, you know, nobody called the police there. But Liz, I don't know if you mentioned this or not about the teacher having sex with the 14-year-old boy, and her lawyer said that she was too good-looking to go to jail. That would be like taking a raw piece of meat, putting it in a lion's cage. Did you see that article?
I did not.
Yeah, it was, I think it was in Florida where this teacher had sex with this 14-year-old boy, which she was white, and the lawyer is saying that she's too good-looking to go to jail. So they're going to try to get a temporary insanity when she had sex with this boy.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, her lawyer is going to say whatever her lawyer wants to say to defend her. The result of what happens is really what needs to be measured. And insofar as temporary insanity, it's not a defense that has worked pretty much anywhere in the United States. For all practical purposes, we have no insanity defense, despite the fact that there are truly insane people out there that do insane things. Her lawyer is going to say whatever he or she wants to say in order to defend his client. The measurement of the insanity of it is not in his defense, but in the decision of the jury of whether or not, or the judge, of whether or not she does go to jail for this crime. And I suspect that she will go to jail. I suspect.
Oh, she probably will. But you know, I sent Jay Leno a note. Every night that he came on, he talked about Michael Jackson. And I was asking him, since he talked about Michael Jackson like that, I never heard him talk about the Catholic priest like he talked about Michael Jackson.
Thanks for your call and observation. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call.
Hey, Liz. How you doing? It's Jesse.
Yes.
You know, Liz, I just wanted to kind of like reminisce a little bit. We made a lot of improvements here in the city of St. Louis, you know? During this crisis we've had since the AIDS, you know, we've become more scientific, the black community has, we've become more united. I think we will overcome crack addiction and alcohol addiction, and we'll come to grips with cigarette addiction also. I'm sure we will. We're a strong community. We're becoming stronger on the bottom of society now. You know, as long as we're strong on the bottom of society, strong and smart on the bottom of society, we can exist in this country. But when we become primitive, we won't exist. You know what I'm saying?
All right.
Now, one more thing about assimilationist black women. I saw a black woman on...
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up. Get to me. I wonder sometimes, and I worry all the time about the casualness and the ease that things are acceptable to a lot of people. And we talked a little bit this morning about how the British police are defending putting 7 bullets into a 27-year-old man, baby. In the big picture of things, it's just a baby. And how they can defend that and how they can say that is right. Well, there is an Indiana National Guard soldier charged with the murder of the death of an Iraqi police officer. Dustin Berg, 22 years old. Corporal Dustin Berg. Yesterday, Justin Berg pled guilty to a lesser charge of negligent homicide in a shooting that he had previously said was self-defense. Now, when he was being court-martialed, he said it was a rash judgment. He said it was a mistake to try to cover up the incident by shooting himself in the stomach. Berg of Ferdinand, Indiana, will spend 18 months in prison under a plea agreement. Now remember, he murdered someone. He murdered an Iraqi police officer. Please feel me on this. He didn't murder an Iraqi civilian. He didn't murder an Iraqi insurgent, whatever that is. He murdered an Iraqi police officer. He covered up the murder of the Iraqi police officer by shooting himself in the stomach. He lied. And he lied, and he lied. Since November 2003, he has lied about the murder. And what does the United States Army give him to punish him? 18 months. And he'll be discharged from the Army for bad conduct. And during the time that he was pleading, or no, during the time prior to the judge opening the judge's mouth and saying what the sentence was going to be, Berg was holding on to his pregnant wife. And he burst into tears when the judge announced it and continued crying after he was assured no more than 18 months in prison. And this 18-month deal includes his pleading guilty to 2 counts of making false statements and intentionally wounding himself. His mother said he's not a murderer. What is he? What is he?
My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have much to talk about. Get to me. Get to me. We're going to take a break. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. We'll be back.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by AutoZone. Manchester between Holloway and Birchwood is a water main break. Only one lane is getting by in both directions. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchard Bridge. Major road construction has two left lanes open to traffic. Traffic is backed up from Zumbel all the way to 5th Street this hour. Eastbound 40 is busy from Maryville Center all the way to Mason Road. Eastbound 44 from 141 to the Merrimack River Bridge. Everything is moving slowly this hour. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 at West Florissant. Look for a very heavy volume this hour. Eastbound 40 between 170 and Hanley Road. Look for heavy volume. Westbound 5570 from 64 to the Poplar Street Bridge. It is stop and go. Westbound 64 at 15th Street and 5570 merge. Look for slow traffic this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank to Laclede's Landing. Everything is on the move. And northbound Route 3 ramp onto Poplar Street Bridge is no problems to report this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by AutoZone. Without regular oil changes, you'll send your car's engine to an early grave. Get to the AutoZone today, change your oil, and get more life out of your car. Get to the zone, AutoZone. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for... We have an excessive heat warning today through 4 o'clock this afternoon. Otherwise hot and humid, mostly sunny in the morning. Showers and thunderstorms are likely this afternoon with a high in the mid-90s. The highest heat index is expected to be around 107 by late morning or afternoon. For this evening, cooler occasional showers and thunderstorms are possible with a low in the mid-60s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with a in the morning and early afternoon and becoming partly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers. The high should be around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 82 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 83. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour.
My name is Craig Skubik. I'm the host of The Adjustment Zone every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Along with my co-host, Dr. Shane May, we provide an insight to the advantages and benefits of chiropractic care by answering your questions and listening to your comments. We also take your email. We cover everything from improving your overall health to the science behind it. That's The Adjustment Zone. With me, Craig Skubik, and Dr. Shane May, every Saturday afternoon at 3, only on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU.
Asthma. Many people think they have it under control, but they really don't. If you have asthma, take 30 seconds to take the asthma control test. For each question, think back to the past 4 weeks. How much of the time did your asthma keep you from getting as much done at work or at home? How often did you have shortness of breath? How often did your asthma symptoms wake you up at night or earlier than usual in the morning? How often did you use your rescue inhaler or nebulizer medication? And last, how would you rate your asthma control during the past 4 weeks? Visit www.asthmaactionamerica.org and take 30 seconds to complete the asthma control test. Or call 1-800-704-4699 to receive the test by mail. And be sure to talk with your healthcare professional about preventing asthma symptoms and protecting your lungs from damage. Are you doing everything you can to control your asthma? Or is your asthma controlling you? A message from Asthma Action America.
New state-of-the-art technology has made it possible to offer copies of programs heard on WGNU to the listening audience at a lower cost. If there is a specific program you are interested in having for your personal library, we can now make it available to you at a cost of $25 per hour. Please make a check or money order payable to WGNU Radio, 265 Union, St. Louis, 63108. Please specify the time, day, and particular topic, and allow 10 days delivery. All program recordings are subject to availability.
Radio Free St. Louis is AM 920 WGNU. Catch us on the World Wide Web at WGNU.net.
We are people of all ages, from different walks of life. We have hopes and dreams, but live in a reality filled with pain. We are the family and friends of alcoholics. We struggle to keep the peace, to make things right. But our lives are not our own. They are controlled by someone else's drinking. We may be different, but we have one thing in common. We want our lives back. If you need help, call Al-Anon and Alateen at 1-888-4-ALANON or visit our website at www.alanon.alateen.org. To help them, you have to help yourself first.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Wednesday, April 14th, 2004. There's been a lot of criticism about the way Al Arabiya and Al Jazeera were covering the riots and fighting in Fallujah and the south of this last week. Some American spokesman for the military was ranting about the spread of anti-Americanism through networks like the above mentioned. I think Western news networks are far too tame. They show the Hollywood version of war. Strong troops in uniform, hostile Iraqis being captured and made to face justice, and the White House turkey posing with the Thanksgiving turkey, which is just fine. But what about the destruction that comes with war and occupation? What about the death? I don't mean just the images of dead Iraqis scattered all over, but dead Americans too. People should have to see those images.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brand.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And don't forget, we broadcast live, or we are archived daily and broadcast live. We broadcast live on the World Wide Web at www.wgnu.net, and we're archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. If you missed an hour, go get an hour. Hmm. as we talk about what happened daily, what is happening in Iraq, and now it appears we have to add to that agenda a daily conversation about what's happening in London, in Great Britain, and a daily conversation about what is happening in Egypt as they put up sheets to hide the devastation wrought by an illegal occupation in Iraq. It's spreading. It's spreading. Unfortunately, some of that, when we are obligated to, forced to, pushed to focus on this madness that is spreading as a result of the Iraqi occupation, sometimes we forget to look at madness elsewhere, if you will. It's not just the situation in Iraq is deteriorating. It was deteriorating from the day that the first bomb, the first of the 50,000 bombs, was dropped there. But the Israeli-Palestinian peace process has also been eroding. And we need to talk about that. I want to talk about that. Because the political solution to bring peace to this Palestinian people, one of the methods that has been argued as a solution to bringing peace is this wall that has been built. Some call it a security barrier. Others call it an apartheid wall. We need to talk about that, and we need to talk about what is going on now in this peace process in Israel. To facilitate that conversation, I have joining me this morning Nadia Hejab, a fellow at the Institute for Palestine Studies, joining us from New York. Nadia, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am very good. Before we get to what is happening right now, I'd like, within the whole settlement issue and the removal of settlers, can we talk about this wall that has been erected? Talk to us about, I guess, why, what is the explanation that is being given for this security wall?
Well, ever since Ariel Sharon became Prime Minister of Israel, he has adopted a pretty unilateral approach to solving the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He launched a war on Palestinian cities. I don't know if people remember that far back, in April of in the spring of 2002, during which a lot of the police force, the infrastructure, the cities and homes of people themselves were really decimated. But in June 2002, they started building this wall, and the Israelis' argument is that they need it for their security to stop suicide bombers. However, if you look at the path of the wall, it is being built well inside Palestinian territory.
It was supposed to run along a green line, right?
Well, if one is going to try and achieve peace through a wall rather than peace through justice, yes, you would put it on what is supposed to be your border, or what has been recognized as, if Palestinians and Israelis are going for a two-state solution, then the green line would have been one place where the border could be. But where the wall is now, it's encircling whole Palestinian towns And it's continuing to be built. So although the present Palestinian leader, Mahmoud Abbas, achieved a truce, a period of calm with different Palestinian factions, armed factions. During that whole period, Israel has continued to build the wall, and they've announced now that the wall is going to completely encircle the Arab areas of Jerusalem. It's going to completely encircle the Palestinian town of Bethlehem, and it has previously encircled other towns. And what's happening is, in order to build the wall, they're taking over a lot of Palestinian land. They're destroying a lot of orchards and fields, and they're demolishing homes. And so as people see this, they just have completely lost faith in the peace process.
I think that visually, when we talk about a wall being built, I think within people's minds, they think about something that is kind of linear, kind of just like a straight or square. But when you look at the map of this wall, it's really almost, if it wasn't so tragic, it would be comical in the way that it is laid out.
Yeah, it definitely snakes through Palestinian territory. And then you've made a very good point. When you imagine a wall, you imagine something that's about your height, maybe a bit higher. Well, this thing is huge. I mean, it's about, if you see some of the photos of people standing against the wall, it's like five or six times an average person's height. And then on either side of it, there's desert has been sort of created on either side, so you can see footprints in the sand. And in some cases, it consists of barbed wire and electrified fencing and so on. It's not just your ordinary wall. It's quite a scary structure. And you have Israel claims that it's going to try and make passage easier through the wall for Palestinians, but you know, in the places where they have put in gates and checkpoints, they announce that these will be open for 15 minutes a day. They say that unless you have a permit, you can't work in your fields, you can't cross the wall to work in your fields, and then they give the permit, for example, to an elderly woman who can't work in the field on her own. So there's many different strategies to stop Palestinians being able to be farmers, because if land lies fallow, then they can claim that nobody is using it and they can confiscate it. But I mean, what the Palestinians say, we don't want better checkpoints. We want basically an end to occupation.
And we have to take a break. When we come back, Nadia, I'd like to talk about, where does the money come from to build this wall? We will be back. I am Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. I'm talking to Nadia Hijab, a fellow at the Institute for Palestine Studies in New York. We're talking about the wall, or the apartheid wall that is being built. We'll be back.
In the night, these children, they'll slip through their windows and they'll see. And they'll think that white was all they need. It's a hard life, it's a hard life, it's a very hard life, it's a hard life for everyone.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Baghdad. Certainly one of, if not the most dangerous professions in the world today, has to be a policeman in the Iraqi force. The Defense Department says over the last year, 1,600 Iraqi cops have been killed. Even more disturbing, the insurgents and criminals are infiltrating the police left and right. In more troubling details released, the number of Iraqi police is about 63,000, but many are either handicapped, can't read or write, and have criminal records. The Bush administration's plan is to have 135,000 Iraqi police trained and ready to handle much of the responsibility for keeping the peace by next year. The Iraqi Ministry of the Interior says the problem lies in the faulty recruitment techniques that are currently used. In news on the Afghan front, one American soldier was killed yesterday and three others wounded during a firefight in a small village in the western part of Afghanistan. The attack on the patrol happened while they were out checking on enemy activity in that area. They were said to have engaged about two dozen suspected Taliban guerrillas and came under fire with small arms, rocket-propelled grenades, and mortars.
A separate attack on Sunday resulted in 6 American soldiers suffering injuries when an explosive device blew up a truck in a convoy in Kunar province. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? The Old Testament prophet Micah asked that question of his people thousands of years ago. Since 1994, that question has been one of the bedrock values of Hope for the Nations. In 20 countries around the world, Hope for the Nations turns today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders, provides security so children can become confident young people, actively trains them to become productive leaders in their society, and helps their communities to become self-sufficient. Learn more about Hope for the Nations and how you can become part of their worldwide ministry. Go online at www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. What is the Lord requiring of you?
To me, summer is family time. A time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube rides, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Just a little bit.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get up, get to me. We have much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. I'm talking to Nadia Hijab, a fellow at the Institute for Palestine Studies in New York, and we're talking about this wall. And Nadia, welcome back. How much does this wall cost, and who pays for it?
Well, I mean, Israel pays for it. It's costing millions and millions. The U.S. provides Israel with about $3 billion.
I mean, can we track the money to the United States? Is that?
Well, I don't know that we can actually do a direct link to the money that the U.S. provides Israel, mm-hmm. but, you know, the money that it provides Israel makes it possible for Israel to then, you know, spend its own money on the occupation. The U.S. also provides a lot of military equipment to Israel, and it's providing the bulldozers that are being used, that are built by the Caterpillar Corporation and that are reinforced then by the Israeli army and used to demolish homes and the fields. And so when people look at the Israeli occupation, they not just see an Israeli face to the occupation, they see the U.S. Weapons money behind it.
And Palestinian citizens, do they have any impact in or input into this the building of this wall? Do they are they consulted in any kind of way?
Oh no. I mean, if they're consulted in any kind of way, they wouldn't want the wall at all.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying.
No, I mean, they've protested the wall. They've declared July 9th an international day. They've called on all people everywhere to support them in fighting the wall. and they've been engaging in many villages, small villages have been engaged in non-violent resistance against the wall. And actually a number of Israeli activists go out and stand with them in solidarity, as do international activists, to try and stop their lands being taken to build the wall. And through their protests, they've successfully been able to shift the route of the wall, but these are minor shifts compared to the overall structure. You see, what the big picture is here, that the overall structure is going to cut the West Bank into small chunks, leaving for the Palestinians about 48% of the West Bank, which itself is only about 10% of their historic land of Palestine. And the wall itself is very visible, but what's less visible are Israel's plans to kind of take the Jordan Valley, which is on the side of the West Bank with Jordan, and to just keep that, and to keep it through a process of settlement. So to just keep the settlers there and declare themselves there. So the Palestinians will be hemmed into these ghettos and will need permission to come in or out. Now the real amazing thing here, or one of the many amazing things, is that Israel is asking for more money from the United States to remove its settlers from Gaza, which it's planning to do by August. And as you were saying earlier, things are heating up in Gaza as it's planning to remove the settlers. Well, it wants something between $1 and $2 billion from the United States to remove something, to remove settlements and settlers which are illegal in the first place, which it should never have put out there.
Well, that's just such a shocking number, and why are we why is America paying for this?
It hasn't yet agreed to pay for the removal of the settlers. So, I mean, there's something that the American people...
And what is included in that cost? Are they buying people new homes? What is that?
Yeah, I mean, each settler is going to cost something to resettle, you know, tens of thousands of dollars, possibly up to $100,000. And then they have to... Then they plan to demolish all the settlements, and then they have to clear away the rubble. But, you know, all this settlement activity is totally illegal under international law, and the date of July 9 is when last year the International Court of Justice, which is a court made up of pretty conservative judges from all over the world, unanimously ruled that the wall was reaffirmed that the wall was illegal, because people knew it was illegal, but reaffirmed that it was illegal, and said that everything to do with building the wall was illegal and that the Palestinians should be compensated. And it also called on member states of the United Nations not to support Israel's wall in any way.
And how do they support it?
Well, by providing Israel with arms or equipment, as in the case of the United States. In the case of Europeans, for example, European countries, they do not take action to stop Israel. I mean, if you ask Israel politely and it doesn't stop, then you say, well, maybe we should reconsider our trade agreements with Israel. I mean, we can't behave, you know, as though it's business as usual when it's basically swallowing up somebody else's land.
And how, outside of the UN, how are people outside of Palestine, out the world, how are they responding to this illegal wall?
Well, civil society throughout the world is responding through acts of solidarity, through support, through acts of conscience. Governments have yet to respond in any meaningful way. Mm. But international civil society is getting organized, and if you, many people will have heard that, for example, different churches in the United States and in Europe and throughout the world are beginning to consider divesting from companies that make a profit from Israel's occupation. So they're looking at companies like Caterpillar, they're looking at other companies that make a profit from the occupation, saying, well, we should not be putting our pension funds, we should not be putting our money in those organizations. Some groups in England were looking, the National Union of Teachers were looking at ways to boycott teachers from universities or the universities in Israel that had really strong links with the occupation. So people themselves, I think, have kind of given up on what governments should be doing and are taking action into their own hands.
And where can people find out more information, Nadia?
Where would you direct them?
Well, they could go to the site of the U.S. campaign to end the Israeli occupation, which is www.endtheoccupation.org.
Nadia Hejab, fellow at the Institute for Palestine Studies, thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
Thank you, Liz, for inviting me.
Take care. Bye-bye. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I will be back after the news. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase.
This is Shuttle Launch Control, where we see the STS-114 astronauts leaving the suit-up room, headed for the elevator down to the first floor.
The crew is suited up and strapped in as NASA makes final preparations for the launch of the Space Shuttle Discovery, the first flight since the Columbia disaster. ABC's Vic Ratner at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida tells us a lot of switches have to be in the right position for this flight to go up.
It's a little bit like shooting pool. You can't get the ball in the pocket unless everything's lined up right. For Discovery to get up to the International Space Station, it needs to be lined up right as well. That only happens for 10 minutes or so each day. Miss the 10-minute window for any reason, a stuck bolt, a thundercloud, a radio glitch, and shuttle and crew have to wait another day.
Along with First Lady Laura Bush, family members of the Columbia and Challenger crews will be watching from the VIP stands at the Space Center. Discovery is the same shuttle NASA sent up after the Challenger tragedy. A transatlantic flight from Los Angeles to London was diverted to Boston after three Pakistani passengers started acting suspiciously. The flight landed safely in Boston, and the three men were questioned but later released. Police didn't say what made the other passengers suspicious. At least one more day of extreme heat is in store for parts of the Midwest, which has been sweltering in the heat for days. Forecasters say a cold front won't be rolling in until tomorrow. Chaplains and counselors are being brought in at the annual Boy Scout Jamboree in Virginia to help the boys cope with the tragic deaths of four Scout leaders who were electrocuted. Carolina County, Virginia Sheriff Tony Lippa says it was apparently an accident.
As a result of setting up the tent, it accidentally had struck an overhead power line. As a result, sending the electricity down to those around setting the tent up.
A statement on the Boy Scout website says Scout leader and a contract worker are in stable condition, and they say their thoughts and prayers are with the families. This is ABC News.
You've heard it's all about the O. Well, what does that mean? It means you have one place to go for a luxurious lifestyle. Overstock.com offers the web's best deals on designer fashions, books, music, sporting goods, bedding, assisted living products, all up to 70% off, plus affordable vacation packages and an auction department with hard-to-find one-of-a-kind items. Live operators 24/7, and it's $2.95 shipping on every order. Simple, safe, and easy. Overstock.com.
For the first time ever on ABC, it's the CMA Music Festival, the only event where you can get up close and personal with your favorite country music stars. With amazing performances by Big and Rich, Dolly Parton, Rascal Flatts, Trisha Yearwood, and many more. The CMA Music Festival, your front row seat to country music's biggest party.
It's the Super Bowl, the World Cup, it's the World Series of country music.
Tuesday, August 2nd at 9, 8 Central, only on ABC.
Egyptian authorities continue their probe into the resort bombings. ABC's Aaron Katursky is in Sharm el-Sheikh.
I'm standing now in a pile of debris at the Ghazala Gardens Hotel. There is just nothing left. Walls have crumbled. Pieces of the ceiling have fallen into heaps of dust and ash. There are twisted pieces of metal. I'm looking at a computer. It's just blown apart. And there are bombed-out cars, three of them parked in front of the hotel. Aaron Katursky, ABC News, at the Ghazala Gardens Hotel in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt.
It's an extreme makeover for TV Guide, relaunching itself as a full-size magazine with fewer TV listings and more stories. TV Guide is also slashing its circulation guarantees and planning to cut jobs, but won't say how many. The changes come as the magazine struggles to find a niche in an age where many TV viewers get their TV listings from their TVs in on-screen guides. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryansmeyer with your WGNU News Update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, a St. Louis man is dead after a crash on the city's south side. Police say 22-year-old Arthur Qualls III was killed when he lost control of his car shortly before noon yesterday on Arsenal. Qualls crashed through a fence, hit a tree, and then overturned at Arsenal and Interstate 55. The Missouri Medicaid Reform Commission is looking into the best way to overhaul the state's current Medicaid system. One of the things the commission is considering is how to get unwed fathers to pay the hospital bill for their child's birth, which means unwed mothers would not have to go on welfare to pay for the birth of the baby. State Senator John Dolan says this would save the state a lot of money.
But will this save money? Yes. Wisconsin, a similar state, a similar size, and has a law similar to which I think we will get, saved $20 million last year.
In addition, he says this would force fathers to be more responsible for their kids. Critics of the proposal say it would hurt the mothers and their unborn children. The James S. McDonnell USO is going on the road. The USO has launched its new mobile USO program with a 27-foot-long vehicle. The mobile USO includes a full kitchen, a cyber cafe, television, DVD player, and VCRs. It will travel across the bi-state region to serve troops as far away as Fort Leonard Wood. Finally this hour, Blues President Mark Sauer said in a press conference yesterday the team does not plan on buying out any of its players' contracts, meaning Doug Waite and Keith Tkachuk will return for the upcoming season. All NHL teams have the option until 5 o'clock Friday evening to buy out their players' contracts at two-thirds of their value, following a rollback of 24%. It is unknown whether or not the Blues will keep star defenseman Chris Pronger. As Sauer said yesterday, the team plans to keep the payroll around $30 million. The combined salaries of Waite and Tkachuk will already cost the Blues $13.5 million. The NHL salary cap is set at $39 million for this season. The Blues will be back on the Savas Center ice Wednesday, September 21st, when they open up their preseason schedule against the Nashville Predators. The game will be the first of any kind for the Blues since April 15th of last year, when they were eliminated in the first round of the playoffs by San Jose. The Note will also play at home September 27th against Dallas and October 2nd versus Chicago. They will play three away games in the preseason, one each against the Blackhawks, Predators, and Stars. The Blues' three-week training camp will open September 14th at the St. Louis Mills Ice Zone in Hazelwood. All 30 NHL teams will begin regular season play on Wednesday, October 5th. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Tropicana Pure Premium. With two servings of fruit in every delicious 8-ounce glass, have a Tropicana morning. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock and AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Eastbound 70 at Cole, there's an accident. Left lane is blocked and traffic jams approaching St. Louis Avenue. Northbound 55 from Bayless 44, no problems reported. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason. That traffic is starting to ease up this hour. Eastbound 44 from Bowles to the Merrimack River Bridge. Look for no problems reported. Northbound 270 from Gravoid to 44. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 270 from West Florissant all the way into Washington Elizabeth. Look for heavy volume there. Eastbound 40 between McKnight and Hanley. You've got stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley. You've got slow traffic as well. Westbound 5570 split from 64 onto the Poplar Street Bridge. Look for stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 64 at Bow Avenue. Look for an accident on right shoulder. Traffic is slow from 15th all the way to the 5570 split. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing looks good. Northbound Illinois Route 3 at the Poplar Street Bridge. On those approaches, you have no problems to report this hour. Churchill Drive at Newcastle Drive. There's a water burst. A water main burst in North County, northbound Hampton at Wilson. Look for an injury accident. Traffic jams at Watson and River Gravoy at Grand. Look for those traffic lights not to be working. They are on red flash. Also, Veterans Memorial Parkway at Country Club. Those traffic lights are not working as well. They are also on red flash. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Employee pricing is a good idea, but with vehicles like this, it's pure genius. Now everyone gets the employee discount plus generous cash allowances on select models. See your participating Chrysler dealer for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow, an excessive heat warning is in effect until 4 p.m. this afternoon. Otherwise, hot and humid, mostly sunny this morning. Then showers and thunderstorms are likely with this afternoon. The high should be in the mid-90s. The heat index is expected to be around 107 by late morning, early afternoon. This evening, cooler, occasional showers and thunderstorms with a low in the mid-60s. And then for Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies in the morning and early afternoon, becoming partly cloudy, a 40% chance of showers with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 84 degrees under sunny skies with haze. Lambert Field is reporting 83. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. From the brothers, I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. From the brothers.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember?
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife and knife back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it.
A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal
freedom. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell the brothers.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax, and my toll-free long-distance number is 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. Email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. The website launches August 1st. And look out for your postcards coming your way about the launch date of lizbrown.com. That's right. There's just so many things that we need to be paying attention to. As if our own personal lives don't keep us busy enough. With kids and school and work and attending to the details of each of our own individual needs. But that is not enough to keep us occupied. We have to also be attentive to, participatory in the issues that our government is involved in. Because if you don't pay them any attention, they ain't going to do you no good. I'm going to say that again. If you don't pay them any attention, they ain't going to do you no good. That's all technical language. Or to be clear, we must pay attention. Our good government, through the legislative branch, was fixing to pass an energy bill. And embedded in that is this funky little rule called PUCA. And they are fixing to trying to will, if this energy bill is passed, eliminate PUCA. What impact will that have on us if PUCA is eliminated? That's not a very difficult word to remember. PUCA, PUCA, PUCA. Remember it. Because I think, I believe, I know, I suspect, your world will change if PUCA is eliminated. And how it can change, how it will change, we're going to have a conversation this morning about that with an attorney, an energy attorney, Lynn Hargis. She's with Public Citizen, and she's joining us from Washington, D.C. to talk about the ramifications of this energy bill with that hidden little component, the elimination of PUCA. Lynn, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Very good. The world will change if PUCA is eliminated.
Absolutely. And the really frightening part is that most of the media is not covering this. I was talking to a reporter for the LA Times, and he's doing sort of an obituary about, you know, now that PUCA's gone, what's going to happen? it's a little late. I was also invited to speak to the National Regulatory Utility Commissioners in September about what they can do about it now that PUCA's gone. And again, it's terribly late. What's going to happen is all the real rules and restrictions on who can own utilities and who can merge utilities are going to go away, which means there's just going to be a handful of companies that own the utilities, and they can raise the rates, you know, as they choose. And this is what happened in the 1920s and early 30s in the Depression when the stock market crashed. There were three companies that owned nearly half the utilities in the United States. And they took the money from the ratepayers, the utility bill payers. They invested it in all kinds of businesses. And then when the stock market crashed, all the utility companies crashed because the banks, you know, pulled in their loans. And the loans were all based on the utilities. And so that's when PUCA was passed. And it was one of the most sweeping laws that's ever been passed in this country. And it was the biggest fight of Franklin Delano Roosevelt's first term, because all the huge utility holding companies came in and fought it, but they lost.
But he only won it by one vote.
It was very, very close. And for 70 years, it's protected us. And in 1992, there were some exemptions passed for PUCA that allowed Enron and a lot of other companies you've heard of to do what they did. And a lot of companies went bankrupt again, as they had in the 1930s. So now they're getting rid of the whole statute. And I had written an article called When China Owns Our Utilities. The Congress has gotten frightened enough of China that they've put in a sort of special provision for them. So that just leaves Russia and France and Germany and all the rest of the countries in the world that will be able to own U.S. electric utilities and control parts of our electrical grid. And it's a that's a very frightening prospect to me. But the reason it really offends PUCA is that PUCA was a local control statute that thought people should have local control over their local utilities. So that now when you have a problem in Missouri, instead of going to the capital of Missouri or your congressman, you may have to go to Glasgow, Scotland, like their Native American tribes right now protest dancing in Glasgow, Scotland, because Scottish Power has acquired PacifiCorp. They did that with this by a very tortured interpretation of one little rule that only applies to foreign utilities. But now any foreign company would be able to come in, and any foreign country would be able to own electric utilities.
And in terms of the fight against this, I don't understand why Democrats, I don't understand why Republicans, I don't understand why people aren't standing up and down and frightened to death about the loss of this protection.
Well, it's because they're such powerful industries that have waded in on the other side. Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway want very much to own utilities, and they have been sort of the single biggest lobbyist for PUCA repeal. And they're saying, oh, it's keeping investors like us out of investing in the public utility business. But it's deliberately keeping investors, certain investors, out because of all the problems that they had back in the 30s and because of what we saw with Enron. They don't want people who are going into the public utility service business who just want to make big profits and quick profits. They want, you know, there to be a level of regulation and utility service and reasonable returns only. And that's just not what's going to happen. Even if Warren Buffett is a great guy, they aren't repealing PUCA just for him. All of the future Enrons and Kinleys and Andrew Fastows are going to be able to prey on the entire utility system.
Now, in terms of, let's just look at the Democrats, regardless of the powerful entities, what Democrat would want their utility company from their state to be owned by another country? Who would want that? Why aren't people, I understand the pressures of, why? Why would you not be articulating concern about this?
I have no idea, frankly, and I don't, you know, I don't understand it at all, and I don't understand why the media is not covering it. Maybe just after 70 years, you know, they've just all given up. I'm not sure, but I think it's outrageous because really what the Democrats are doing is throwing just enough jurisdictional crumbs over to the FERC, the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, on the merger authority, which is only one part of what PUCA does, and that's really providing a cover for the Democrats to vote for PUCA repeal. And why they're doing that, why the Democrats would accept it, I just don't know. In the House, Congressman Dingell put up a big fight, and I think 188 of the voters in the House, you know, voted to save PUCA, but it wasn't enough. But in the Senate, they just seem to be rolling over.
So give us a scenario. Give us a scenario of if China were able to buy our utilities and own our utilities.
Well, the whole reason that when you buy a utility, you have to divest your non-utility business under PUCA is what they found was there were huge conflicts of interest. For example, General Electric was the first holding company, first to apply the holding company device to utilities way back, you know, in the last century. And the reason was they wanted to sell turbines and electric equipment, and they found it easier to do that if they actually owned the utilities. And that just that kind of simple conflict of interest, if you have someone else owning utilities, they just can't resist using those steady utility revenues or the utility fees or the other things in order to benefit their other businesses. Now, in the case of China, their other business is the government of China. Now, if the government of China has to choose between China's welfare, China's economy, or American ratepayers, what would they choose?
And it's not just China. If France had to choose between their citizens and us,
absolutely,
who are they going to choose?
Absolutely. It's just a huge conflict of interest. And that's why PUCA has always said, if you buy a utility, have to get rid of your non-utility businesses. And that has kept oil companies from owning utilities. That has kept investment banks, electric suppliers, insurance companies. That's why Buffett wants to get rid of it, because Berkshire Hathaway, to admit that they outright control Mid-American, would have to get rid of all their other investments.
So for the average person, how quickly would this impact them? I mean, if PUCA is passed, and the energy bill is supposed to be passed on what, this next week?
Probably tomorrow.
Tomorrow. If this energy bill is passed,
mm-hmm,
how soon would we see the impact of this?
Well, obviously, it's going to take a little while, but it took an astonishingly short time in California when they deregulated electricity.
Yes.
First of all, the electric bills are going to go up and up. They just are, for a variety of reasons, but PUCA is one of them. And obviously, it will take a while, but some of the mergers are already in place. People, in anticipation of PUCA repeal, have already announced a number of big mergers. But my job when I was at a law firm was to advise companies and countries on what they could and could not do under PUCA in terms of acquiring electric utilities. And so I know the appetite is out there. The SEC has said that as well. The SEC has even, they have jurisdiction, I'm sorry, Securities and Exchange Commission has jurisdiction over PUCA. And they have said in rulemakings and in requests for comments that they don't think Congress back in 1992 intended for foreign companies to be able to own American utilities. But nobody ever said anything, and they've just gone on and in a few limited cases allowed it. Now, there are no limitations at all. Anyone can come in. Plus, the SEC under PUCA regulates the transactions between the parent and the utility. Scottish Power had to register under PUCA with the SEC as a registered holding company under the Act. All of its transactions with Pacific Arp were heavily regulated. That no longer will be true. And state commissions can't do anything about interstate holding companies. That's actually why PUCA was passed, because FDR was the governor of New York, and he appointed an excellent public utility commission, but there was nothing they could do because the owners of the utilities were in interstate commerce. They were interstate, multi-state companies.
So a governor of a state wouldn't have any control over the entity that is supplying the energy for that state?
As long as the utilities own their own generation, the Public Utility Commission can control that. But if they're buying it wholesale from power marketers, and increasingly with the 1992 exemptions for power plants were taken out from, certain ones were taken out from under PUCA, those are only regulated by FERC, and FERC has decided to allow the market to set the rates. So in other words, they're not regulated at all. And those costs of electric power generation are required to be passed through to retail ratepayers by the Supremacy Clause of the U.S. Constitution, because FERC is the federal body. And if they say it's okay, the states can't challenge that.
What about our environmental laws and other laws? How would they apply to foreign ownership of our energy providers?
Well, I'm not an environmental law specialist, but obviously it's going to be virtually impossible for any state agency and probably most federal agencies to really get their hands around these foreign companies. Like, what the Native Americans are protesting in Glasgow is a hydroelectric dam with the environmental consequences on their livelihood, on their fishing of salmon. And they've had to go to Glasgow. Well, you can imagine what it's like. I mean, I don't know how you threaten even a Scottish company, much less one, you know, in Russia or someplace else. You know, that's not where American interests should have to be protested for something as vital. Electricity is not like anything else. It isn't a commodity. It's a service. And it's the grid is at one huge sort of interconnected machine, as we've seen with the blackouts. It just takes one tree and one, you know, small incident to bring down the whole Northeast grid. And that's not the sort of thing you should be putting into the hands of foreign companies or foreign countries.
It is just stupefying to sit here and to listen to the possibility of this, that anybody would sit still for this to happen.
I absolutely agree. And when we go and talk to, I remember one senator who we went and talked to his aide, and he said, well, if you're right, everybody would be on your side. And I said, yes, that's right. Everyone will be on our side. It's just a question of how long it takes for us to get the message across. But there's, you know, I don't know why it is. There have been some wonderful editorials and articles about Pooka, but they've been, you know, in Utah, in Colorado, in Bangor, Maine, in North Carolina. They haven't been in the New York Times and the Washington Post and the L.A. Times.
So, Lynn, what do you advocate for people to do?
Call their congressman. I mean, you know, what can you do? Call your senators, call your congressman, tell them not to support this energy bill. If you have any kind of group, you know, if you know any organization that could get the word out, just have them call in. It's the 11th hour. There's probably nothing that can be done, but, you know, none of us can sort of give up trying.
And if they wanted to find out more about this, where would you direct them, Lynn?
Well, on our website, we have a number of things. That's www.citizen.org. It will lead you to the site on the energy bill and Pooka. Pooka for Dummies is something I wrote just as a background primer a couple of years ago, and then there's Pooka Repeal for Dummies. There are sort of articles or press releases we've done on why the allowing states to look at the books and records of Enron or China is not really going to help the situation. There's something called the ABCs of Pooka. Just, you know, we've tried to simplify it because obviously it's a very difficult concept. There are very few people who understand it. So that's one of the reasons it's being repealed, actually, because people just don't understand what's going to happen. And so that's why I'm a volunteer at Public Citizen, because for 17 years I worked at a law firm and I know what's going to happen. So I'm trying to get the word out. Also, truthout.com has done some wonderful articles on Pooka. Something called peopleriseup.com has a great list of articles on Pooka.
Very good. I want to thank you, Lynn Hargis, volunteer energy attorney with Public Citizen, joining us from Washington, D.C. I wish there was good news.
So too. Thank you for your interest.
Thank you so much, Lynn.
Bye-bye.
Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. We're going to a break. Stay with me.
Good morning, St. Louis. 32 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at the Sours traffic and weather. Sours traffic is sponsored by Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Eastbound 70 at Cole, that accident's been cleared. Traffic is starting to ease by at this hour. Eastbound 70 from 94 to the Blanchett Bridge, major road construction. Only two left lanes are getting through. Traffic is back up east of Zumbel all the way to 5th Street. Northbound 55 at Weber Road in Arsenal, no problems reported. Eastbound 40 at Mason, that traffic starting to ease up this hour. Eastbound 44 between Mraz Overpass and 270, look for slow volume there. Northbound 270 is slow on either side of 44. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, you still have heavy volume there. Westbound 255 from Cook to the Lee May Ferry, no problems to report. Eastbound 40 at Hanley, look for slow traffic. East or westbound 40 at Laclede Station is an accident. The shoulder is blocked and traffic slows in McCausland. A little slow on the right lane, then all the way to Hanley. Westbound 5570, merge at the Poplar Street Bridge. That traffic is starting to ease up this hour. Westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing. Everything looks good. Churchill and Newcastle, there's a burst water main in North County. And also Gravelway at Grand. Look for those traffic lights not to be working, as well as at Veterans Memorial Parkway at Country Club. Those traffic lights are not working as well. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Employee pricing is a good idea, but with vehicles like this, it's pure genius. Now everyone gets the employee discount with the generous cash allowances and on select models. See your participating Chrysler dealer for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow, an excessive heat warning is in effect until 4 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, hot and humid, mostly sunny in the morning. Showers and thunderstorms are likely this afternoon. The highs are in the mid-90s today, with the highest heat index expected to be around 107 by late this morning or early this afternoon. This evening, cooler, occasional showers and thunderstorms with a low in the mid-60s. Then on Wednesday, mostly cloudy in the morning and early afternoon, but becoming partly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers in the afternoon as well. The high should be around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 87 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 86. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. It's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour.
Spring rains, summertime heat. They can take a toll on your roof. But not to worry. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127. Person Roofing now offers a GAF factory warranty up to 10 years on any modified rubber roof, and that includes labor and material. GAF is the largest maker of roofing material in the country and stands behind its product 100%. Finance your new roof with Visa or MasterCard. Free estimates. Call Philip Person Roofing, 361-7127.
We all know by now never to drink and drive. We know to buckle up for safety, and we know to protect our children by using proper car seats. But did you know that basic car maintenance is just as important in avoiding serious accidents? Simple steps like changing your oil and brake fluid, antifreeze and coolant, checking the belts and gaskets, and rotating your tires can keep everyone safer. The Car Care Council is urging everyone to take an active interest in routine maintenance. For more information, visit vehiclemanager.com.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Wednesday, April 14th, 2004. There's been a lot of criticism about the way Al Arabiya and Al Jazeera were covering the riots and fighting in Fallujah and the south of this last week. Some American spokesman for the military was ranting about the spread of anti-Americanism through networks like the above mentioned. I think Western news networks are far too tame. They show the Hollywood version of war. Strong troops in uniform, hostile Iraqis being captured and made to face justice, and the White House turkey posing with the Thanksgiving turkey, which is just fine. But what about the destruction that comes with war and occupation? What about the death? I don't mean just the images of dead Iraqis scattered all over, but dead Americans too. People should have to see those images.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem.
Steve Largen, President and CEO of CTIA, the Wireless Association.
These days, drivers face all kinds of distractions.
Station. Welcome to Wonder Burger. Can I take your order, please?
I'll have a double cheeseburger, a large...
Come on now, boys. You're going to have to settle down. It's really hard to concentrate with you fighting like that.
Before your wireless phone becomes a distraction, stop. Drive safely. Never take notes or look up phone numbers while you drive. In bad traffic or weather, save your call for later. Dial sensibly and use a hands-free device.
Sorry, it's really bad out. I've got to hang up.
You know, your wireless phone can be your best safety tool to call for help, stop a crime, or help someone in need. However you use it, remember, with wireless, safety is your call.
The wireless industry reminds you to drive safely. For more information, visit www.wirelesssafety.org.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Rise up, oh! Rise up, oh! Everybody gotta rise up. Come follow me, rise up,
oh!
Rise up,
oh!
It's your mass, I've got to rise up. You got to rise up,
oh!
Rise up,
oh!
Everybody gotta rise up. Yeah, you gotta rise up,
oh!
Rise up,
oh!
Ooh, welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. Website launch August 1st. August 1st, LizBrown.com. Oh, I'm excited. We've got some fun things on there. A couple of blogs. We got some fun stuff on there. I'm excited. You'll need to stay tuned for that. LizBrown.com. My name is Liz Brown. We have much business to attend to. And because some of you might be feeling, I don't know, a little down maybe, a little distracted kind of, a little anxious perhaps about where your salaries are and whether you're going to be able to make ends meet, whether you're going to be able to pay your electric bills. I just want to share with you that there is some good news out there. There is some good news out there. And maybe this is the type of news that keeps hope alive within us. In 2003, the top five executives at each of the 1,500 major public companies that are followed by Standard and Poor's, the top five executives at the 1,500 major public companies earned a grand total of $350 billion. And that ain't peanuts, baby. Even if our economy's at $11 trillion, it's 10% of the aggregate earnings of the companies. And if you want to get a little perspective on this, it's double what was paid out in the 1993 to 1995 period, when executives only took about 5% of the profits of the Standard & Poor's 1500. Do you hear what I'm saying? Do you feel me? I mean, I'm trying to make you feel there's good news out there. These folks are ganking $350 billion. That means they're taking an extra 5% out of these companies to put into their pockets. What could they possibly be doing in a 24-hour-a-day period to own that, to earn that? What are they doing? And to be fair, to all of the you welfare proponents out there, those of you that feel that people should get a helping hand, not to worry, because your good government subsidizes executive pay. The cost of the compensation, just like the pay of the average worker, are a company's expense. So, understand this. When you pay an executive, thanks to the laws in your good government, written by your good government, the legislative branch of your good government, and the exec signed off by the executive branch of your good government, this $350 billion, well, that's a tax write-off.
So the cost of the compensation is a company's expense. It can be deducted when a firm estimates its corporate taxes. So the bigger the pay for the chief executive officer, the less corporate tax owed to Washington. In effect, every taxpayer pays directly or indirectly for this excessive corporate executive pay. So, you know this. Even if you can't make your ends meet this month, you're helping some multimillionaire out there, almost billionaire out there, make his ends meet. Because we're not talking about women, by and large. We're talking about men. And we're not talking about men that look like my father. We pay for their salary. We pay. 454-0400 is the phone number. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. You need to get to me. We have much to talk about. Stay with me.
Tula mama, tula, tula mama, tula, 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 tula. Tula mama, tula, tula mama, tula, tula mama, tula, 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 tula mama.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Cairo. Large riots are reported in the country of Yemen after the government raised the price of gasoline to almost $7 a gallon. The Prime Minister of the country, Abdul Qadir Jamal, says his government can no longer afford to keep down the price of fuel with subsidies. Cooking gas has doubled, diesel fuel rose 260%, and public transportation costs have also doubled. One member of the opposition party in Parliament says the government could have saved more money if they had bothered looking into corruption instead of raising prices and putting a heavy burden on the people. And Dateline New York. An interesting study in the latest edition of the American Journal of Public Health. Veterans who have been exposed to chemical munitions at Qamishla, Iraq, are twice as likely as other vets to die from brain cancer. An analysis in that report indicates that soldiers who got exposed to chemical munitions for only one day were 72% more likely to develop a fatal brain cancer. And those exposed to two or more days were 226% more likely to die from brain cancer. As usual, there is the caveat that more research is necessary to confirm those figures. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
I am Elder Rolitha Cutts, and I am the host of the Victory Through Praises radio broadcast ministry on Saturdays from 4:30 to 5 p.m. We are a ministry that believes in encouraging the body of Christ and people everywhere to just continue on in life and be encouraged and know that you can make it through anything that happens in life. Once again, that's Victory Through Praises radio broadcast ministry on Saturdays, 4:30 to 5 p.m.
If you think a little heartburn is no big deal, even if you're taking medication, I've got two words for you. Think again. Persistent heartburn two or more days a week, despite treatment and change of diet, may be acid reflux disease. And about one in three people with acid reflux may have damage in their esophagus and not even know it. Now I've got another word for you. Nexium. For many, one prescription Nexium, esomeprazole magnesium, not only provides 24-hour heartburn relief, but heals acid-related erosions in the esophagus. Most erosions heal in 4 to 8 weeks. Your results may vary. Other serious stomach conditions may still exist. The most common side effects of Nexium include headache, diarrhea, and abdominal pain. See our ad in Ladies Home Journal. For more information, visit purplepill.com or call 1-877-3-NEXIUM. When it comes to acid reflux disease, think Nexium, the healing purple pill. Ask your doctor if Nexium is right for you.
AM 920, WGNU is the home of Radio Free St. Louis. If you're outside the metropolitan area, pick us up at WGNU.net.
The struggle for fairness on the award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
This is a little something to help you get through the day, if you could.
It was more than a tragedy. Emotions be grabbing me. Plane fell from the sky. We try to figure what happened. Burning churches, fearing God. Who can be so cruel? We all ignorant to AIDS till it happens to you. Just be a man, make plans, listen to your voice. A woman's trying to make decisions, we should leave them a choice. Cause who are we to say who lives or die, breathes or stops? All this judgments on other lives needs to stop. What are we living for? Giving more back than taking. On my knees still waiting for my own salvation. Now I feel abandoned, cause rap you can and say I'm greedy. You can take my taxes, send me to war, but can't feed me. It's so easy to regret things after they done. Babies catching murder cases, scared to laugh in the sun. The tragedy is that we all need love and doses. In times like these, we feel closest. The good die young.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up, get to me. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
The very top of the morning to you, Dr. Brown.
The rest of the day to you.
Thank you. I thank you so very much for your very noteworthy and informative show. I received a credit card bill yesterday. And on the back of it, it said that if we didn't use the envelope they sent us with it to the address that they sent us and didn't follow the specific directions.
Like what? What were some of the specific directions?
You know how they have in there how much you're going to send.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put that in there. You got to use that envelope they sent you. And there were a couple of other little things. I don't have the bill right with me.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't do it, they're going to penalize you by holding your money that you sent in to the side for 5 days.
Oh, my God.
So you know what that's going to incur, don't
you? Oh, my God.
So I just wanted
to So they're saying if you don't send your payment to them in their envelope.
Their envelope.
In their envelope, they will hold your what? They can't open your
they're
envelope?
They're going to hold it for 5 days.
For
that's
5 days, which means that they will get you with late fees.
There you go. And
or maybe
that,
even
once
an over
you late with one credit card, all of them domino.
That is outrageous.
And that was
outrageous.
Yeah, they did that.
That is outrageous.
But thanks for squeaking, because the squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Oh my God, that is outrageous.
Yes, it is. You had already told us about those credit cards, so we better hurry up and cut them
off. You know what? Oh my goodness. That is so awful.
Okay, you gave us a warning. Thanks.
I know, but now you dropped something on me. That's just awful. That is just awful. It's scandalous. If you don't send the right envelope to your credit card company with your check in it, with a certified check in it, with a money order in it, they don't even have to send it to the bank. They have their money in their hand. They're saying, you know what? We don't like the envelope. It's a blue envelope, not a yellow envelope. 5 days we're going to hold it. 5 days. And you know what? I bet you, by golly, wow, I bet you, I bet you, I bet you. They're numbers crunchers. They're statisticians. Their people have sat down and calculated this out, that most people send their payments in within about a 4.5-day grace period. So they know. They've already figured out that if they say 5 days, they're going to make even more money. And here's the thing that is just, that blows me away. And I guess what will always keep me from being able to fully anticipate everything that these greedy so-and-sos are doing. This is an industry that has made record billion-dollar profits. Record billion-dollar profits. And what they are saying is that, you know what? That still ain't enough money. It still ain't enough money. They are going to hold your check, your payment, for 5 days because you sent it in a different envelope that went through the U.S. mail with the right postage on it to the right address.
They're going to hold your check for 5 days? Oh. It's not enough. It's just not enough. I can't begin to understand the greed. And quite frankly, I don't want to understand it fully, because it would have to take me to a very bad place. That's just wild. That is just wild. 454-0400 is my phone number. And 1-877-920-WGNU, that's also my number. For those of you that like to think that, and I get a lot of calls and comments about the music that I play on the bumpers, and you're going to have access to some of that music when we launch LizBrown.com. And I love doing that. I love making, picking the songs and figuring out the bumpers that we use on the show. Those are my choices, and I think part of the reasons why I get such good responses and good comments to the music that's played on the show is because a lot of different type of music is played. And for those of you that think that you like certain songs that are out there now, know this: yesterday, Sony BMG Music Entertainment admitted that its company paid people. They paid them with cash. They paid them with trips. They paid them with other bribes. And what people am I talking about? Radio stations and their employees to get music on the air. Now, know this. The music is already so calculated and canned. It's already calculated and canned. There was an investigation by the New York Attorney General, Elliot Spitzer. And as he said, payola was pervasive in the industry. And while it assumes some more sophisticated forms, it's not any different from the practices unearthed in scandals that have dogged the industry since the early days of radio. But how they caught them is different than they did back in the 40s or the 50s. They caught them in their email. People are crazy. They just write anything in their email. Executives complained that the company was paying too much in trips and gifts to the program director of Buffalo's WKSE-FM in return for the airtime for the Sony BMG rock band Franz Ferdinand. Is that right? Ferdinand, yeah. 2 weeks ago, it cost us over $4,000 to get France on WKSE. That's what 4 trips to Miami and hotel cost. They paid the program director $4,000 to get him on the air. So you wondering why you're hearing certain stuff? It's because they're paying people to play certain music. Sony is owned by Germany's Bertelsmann AG and Japan's Sony Corporation. In a statement, they said direct and indirect of what has been generally described as payola for spins has continued to be, unfortunately, prevalent aspect of radio promotion. The company apologized for such conduct. Huh? You say it's part of the business and the industry, and then you apologize for it? Sony has agreed to pay $10 million. But the investigation ain't over. They're looking into other major music companies like Universal Music Group, Warner Music Group, EMI Group, Universal Music Group, a unit of Francis Vinvidi. And Spitzer has also asked the FCC to take a very hard look at the major radio station owners and consider stripping the companies of broadcast licenses in cases where they have been found to violate a public trust. Now remember, the FCC was fixated on Janet Jackson's breasts. Let's see if they are going to be as fixated on something that really, really matters. graft, bribes, and payola. Let's see if they are as fixated by that as they were with Janet Jackson's breasts. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. In the next hour, we're going to be talking about, this thing called disease mongering. What is disease mongering? Well, you're going to have to stay tuned for the next hour to listen to Ray Moynihan as he talks about what it is. You don't want to miss this. My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase.
Good Houston, MS2 contact.
It's all aboard for the astronauts.
MS2 Houston, we have you loud and clear. Good morning, Stevie Ray. It's good to hear you all on board.
They're now strapped into their seats for their scheduled liftoff on Discovery just 39 minutes from now.
Discovery, OTC, comm check, air to ground.
Crew members are now going over their final checklist for the flight, which NASA Administrator Michael Griffin says is a very big deal.
The flight is huge. It's one of the three biggest shuttle flights we've ever done. Of course, there was the very first one. And then there was the first one back after Challenger, and now the first one back after Columbia.
But he says, despite the pressure,
I'm not nervous. You're nervous when you don't know if you've done everything that you can, and we know that we've done everything we can.
Forecasters say there's an 80% chance of acceptable weather at launch time. The relentless heat wave continues to cook people coast to coast. Reporter Cynthia Vega in Dallas says overheated Texans are hoping for a cool change.
We are now all looking for a little bit of relief with the promise of a cold front blowing through. It may just push those temperatures all the way down to 90, maybe even the high 80s. We'll take it.
The Boy Scouts are offering sincere condolences to the families of four scout leaders who died in a tragic accident at the Boy Scout Jamboree. More from ABC's Pam Coulter.
Troop members here are coping with a heartbreaking loss, the deaths of four longtime scout leaders from Anchorage, Alaska. They were electrocuted when a pole from a tent they were putting up hit a power line. Scout spokesman Bob Dries.
Our prayers and sympathies are with the families of each of the victims. It's a loss shared by everyone here at the Jamboree and the Boy Scouts of America.
The Jamboree is going on with the assistance of grief counselors. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Fredericksburg, Virginia.
A United Los Angeles to London flight was diverted to Boston when three Pakistani passengers made others nervous. The plane landed safely, the three men were questioned and released, and the flight is due to resume within an hour. This is ABC News.
Do you get a sinking feeling when you think about paying for your kids' college education? Don't. My winning advice? Recruit the grandparents. In a moment, I'll tell you how.
Today's winning advice from Jennifer Openshaw is sponsored by LendingTree. Visit LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE now and have banks compete to give you four real offers to refinance your mortgage in just minutes. You can compare your offers and act on them immediately at LendingTree.com. When banks compete, you win. See website for sponsorship details and licensing.
Yes, the grandparents may be the key to college. Grandparents can contribute thousands of dollars to a college fund without getting hit with gift taxes using the popular 529 plan, and the money grows tax-free. Listen to this. A $2,000 yearly gift over 18 years will grow to $80,000 with an 8% annual return. That covers most of the projected costs of 4 years at a public university. And even if each set of grandparents only kicks in $500 a year, that covers half the cost. They get the joy of giving to their grandkids today, and you can tuck more away for your retirement.
In an unusual courtroom drama, a defendant attacked his lawyer. ABC's Chuck Severton has the story.
On trial in Chicago federal court for drug and weapons charges, Aaron Patterson started shoving his lawyers, yelling that he was being framed. U.S. Marshals took the jury, then Patterson out. One of the defense lawyers, Tom Brewer, is a former FBI agent. He told the judge maybe the outburst was because Patterson's ex-lawyer told Patterson during a jailhouse visit that Brewer was still working undercover for the FBI. The judge ordered Patterson's former lawyer in for questioning, and an ice pack for the ankle of the current attorney. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.
Vince Vaughn, the co-star of Wedding Crashers, says he doesn't understand why people are so obsessed with celebrity love lives. His advice for the starstruck? Go kiss someone, go get something to eat and take a nap. You're going to be fine, kid. Vaughn says, unlike his own character in the movie, he doesn't like blind dates. He thinks it's easier and more comfortable to meet someone in some sort of a group activity. I'm Karen Chase, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Tuesday, authorities have identified the toddler who drowned over the weekend in a family swimming pool in Belleville. 15-month-old Kendra Brow died Saturday after wandering away from her mother and falling into the swimming pool at her home in the 100 block of Indiana. Kendra's death has been ruled an accident. No charges will be filed. Residents in Sunset Hills are hoping their city will eventually follow in the footsteps of Maplewood in rejecting eminent domain for private development. About 175 members of Stop the Sunset Hills Land Grab met last night and heard from several state lawmakers expressing their support. The group is fighting a plan to put a shopping center near Interstate 44 in Lindbergh. Maplewood city officials recently responded to a public outcry by signing a resolution against the use of eminent domain for private development. Opponents of the Sunset Hills plan say city officials have refused to listen to them so far. A CBS soap star is on a mission to educate the public about a chronic pelvic pain condition known as interstital cystitis. Melody Thomas Scott of The Young and the Restless is the spokesperson for a new campaign called All About IC to raise awareness about this inflammatory bladder condition.
6 years ago, it tracked me down, shall we say, and just stopped my life as I knew it. I was in such pain, doubled over, felt like I had the worst bladder infection ever, and the problem was it never went away. I ended up going from doctor to doctor.
It's estimated that 9 million women suffer from IC in the United States. IC is most often treated with medication. For more information, go online to www.allaboutic.com. Finally this hour, it's another sweet box office victory for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The film starring Johnny Depp as eccentric chocolate mogul Willy Wonka earned another $28.3 million this weekend to maintain its top standing for a second straight week. Charlie's 10-day haul at the box office now stands at more than $114 million. The Owen Wilson-Vince Vaughn comedy Wedding Crashers held its second-place position with $26.2 million. It was followed by the comic book adaptation Fantastic Four at number 3 with $12.3 million. The sci-fi action adventure The Island from Armageddon director Michael Bay opened in a disappointing fourth place with $12.1 million. And the Bad News Bears update starring Billy Bob Thornton opened at number 5 with a modest $11.5 million in box office receipts. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Sudafed. Sinus misery? Get Sudafed. Nothing stronger at relieving even your worst sinus symptoms, not even a prescription. Sudafed, prescription-strength sinus relief, based on 24-hour dose of pseudoephedrine. That's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by the Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Manchester between Holloway and Birchwood to Watermain, they have Watermain work going on there. One lane is open in both directions. Eastbound 44 between the mile marker 207 and 214 in Cuba, Missouri. Look for traffic reduced to one lane due to construction. Traffic is backed up about 2 miles in one lane. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchette Bridge. Look for major road construction. Two left lanes are open. Traffic is backed up from 94 to 5th Street. Eastbound 44 at Merrimack River Bridge. Look for that traffic to be easing this hour. Northbound 270 at 44. That traffic has returned back to normal. Westbound 270 from Riverview to Washington Elizabeth. There's no problems to report there. In both directions at 40 at Hanley, that traffic is starting to ease up this hour, and your bridge approaches shape up like this. Westbound 5570 split at the Poplar Street Bridge has returned back to normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois side all the way into Laclede's Landing. Everything looks good. Churchill at Newcastle, there's a water main broke there as well, and that's in North County. Gravoy at Grand, look for traffic lights not working. They're on red flash. And Veterans Memorial Parkway at Country Club, look for traffic lights not to be working. They are also on red flash. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chrysler Summer Sales Drive. Employee pricing is a good idea, but with vehicles like this, it's pure genius. Now everyone gets the employee discount, plus generous cash allowances on select models. See your participating Chrysler dealer for details. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today and tomorrow, an excessive heat warning is in effect until 4 p.m. this afternoon. Otherwise, hot and humid, mostly sunny in the morning. Then showers and thunderstorms are likely by this afternoon. The high should be in the mid-90s. The highest heat index readings are expected to be around 107 later this morning or early this afternoon. For this evening, cooler, occasional showers and thunderstorms are possible. The low should be in the mid-60s, so we're getting some relief there. For Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies in the morning and early afternoon, then becoming partly cloudy. A 40% chance of showers is possible in the morning with a high around 80. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under mostly sunny skies with some haze, we have 87 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 86 under sunny conditions as well. Stay tuned for another hour of the award-winning wake-up call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your news and weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to talk with your children about the dangers of underage drinking. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
A new study says several years of being in a small class can keep some kids from dropping out of school when they get older, especially kids who live in poor families. In the Journal of Education Psychology, the study of nearly 5,000 students found a nearly 12% increase in high school graduation rates if the student had spent the first 4 years of school, kindergarten through third grade, in smaller classes. The study defined small classes as under 18 students. A full class size was 22 to 26 students. These researchers also found a strong link between achievement in reading and math in kindergarten to grade 3 with graduation from high school. Imagine what being in a small class a student's entire school experience could do. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
I will never say that progress is being made.
you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, talk to me, sister.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help and can't find it. Struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal citizenship.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number, 454-6609 is my fax. And if you want to toll-free long-distance me, you can do that at 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. And please don't forget the show is archived daily at whiterosesociety.org. So if you miss an hour, you can go ahead and get one of your hours back. And LizBrown.com is launching August 1st. You need to stay tuned for that. Some exciting features. The blogs, plural. Did you hear me? Blogs, plural. Going to be on there. Other exciting things are going to be on the website August 1st. Put it on your calendar, LizBrown.com. In the meantime, email me at revolution@lizbrown.com. So, what we got cooking? What do we have cooking? What do we have cooking? Last summer, the Royal College of General Practitioners in the UK openly accused pharmaceutical companies of disease mongering. And they said that these practitioners said that these tactics were bringing the National Health Service to the brink of collapse. Disease mongering. What is that? Well, to tell us what that is and much more and why we should be concerned about it, I have joining us from San Francisco, California, Ray Moynihan, and he's here to talk to us about selling sickness. Ray Moynihan, good morning.
Hello, it's Ray Moynihan here. How are you, Liz?
I'm very good. How are you?
Good.
Very good. Disease mongering. What is that?
Disease mongering, it's a great concept. It's about selling disease. People might have heard of fish mongering, selling fish. Well, disease mongering is selling disease. It's better known to people as disease awareness raising. And really the drug companies are the people who do this. They increasingly aren't trying to just sell us their products, their drugs. They're also trying to sell us diseases. They're trying to sell us certain perceptions of illness. And
Ray, there are people out there that would say, there are these diseases do exist. How is it the fault of a drug company?
Absolutely, Liz. Of course, diseases exist. There's lots of problems and ailments and conditions and dysfunctions and diseases out there. What disease mongering is about, and what I've just written a book about, is the way the definitions of illness are continually widened.
For example?
Let's take cholesterol, the high cholesterol. the boundaries that define who has high cholesterol and who needs to be treated just keep getting wider and wider and wider. And so in the 1990s in this country, the official guidelines suggested something like perhaps 13 million Americans might benefit from taking cholesterol-lowering drugs. Well, now that figure is over 40 million. Because the way the rules are being written, the way the definitions are written, they just keep getting slowly wider and wider. And if you look condition by condition, you see a similar thing happening. With mental illness, no one denies the reality of depression and other crippling mental illnesses. But the way the medical establishment, in league with the drug companies, is helping to define what should be treated, we're slowly pushing the boundaries wider so that even mild cases of depression are now treated by many people as if they were a mental illness, a medical condition that required drug therapy.
So we're talking about exaggeration?
Exactly. And this is a controversial area.
Because, I mean, there are people out there that would say, look, the reason why there are more people that are diagnosed with high cholesterol is because the method of diagnosing it has gotten better. We've gotten better on the science end of it. We've gotten better on the chemistry end of it. We didn't know that these people had high cholesterol 25 years ago, and we know now because we have better testing.
That's part of it, Liz. You're absolutely right. There is a whole literature within the medical establishment And that shows that the more you test people, the better your tests, the more refined your testing, the more illness you're going to find, you know, the more sickness you're going to find. But I want to say, look, you know, when is enough enough? How many people are we going to redefine as patients? How many people are walking around this country with multiple labels on them that may not need them? Now, it's also important to remember that things like high cholesterol are not, in fact, diseases. They're risk factors for future disease. In the case of high cholesterol, it's a risk factor for future heart disease. But a lot of the sort of commercial messages that come out of the pharmaceutical industry make us feel as if high cholesterol is of itself some kind of disease.
And if we, I guess the argument goes that if we think that it is a disease, we are going to address it differently than we would a risk factor.
I think that what I'm trying to argue is that there is an attempt to turn every aspect of ordinary life into a medical condition in order to somehow sell us treatments. And so that's the sort of debate I guess I'm interested in having.
Now, when the Royal College of General Practitioners accused pharmaceutical companies of disease mongering, they said that they were inventing fictitious diseases. What did they mean by that? The fictitious disease part of it.
Well, you know, I've just released a book called Selling Sickness, and that has 10 chapters and 10 conditions. And one of the conditions that I talk about in the book is called premenstrual dysphoric disorder, PMDD. I don't know how much, you know, your listeners have heard of this.
I've never heard of it, so let's talk about that.
Well, PMDD is a relatively new condition that came out in the late 90s. It really is a severe form of premenstrual syndrome or premenstrual problems, sort of things that most women experience just before the period. But there was an attempt to essentially construct a new disease called PMDD. Now that disease is highly controversial because a lot of researchers in that field don't actually agree that a disease exists. And in fact, in many other countries in the world, that disease is not accepted as a real disease. Whereas here, the drug companies and their sort of allies within the medical profession are convinced that this is a disease, and they've been advertising the use of antidepressants to treat that disease. So I think that's probably an example that the British college would have thought of as a fictitious illness.
And let's talk about the difference between semantically, what is the definition of a disease? Is it different than the definition of an illness? Or are they the same thing?
Look, that is, you know, I think the boundaries are just get blurred. You know, the boundaries just keep getting blurred in this area. And that's why it's very difficult to work out what's what.
Well, does a doctor, if something is called a disease, are there certain medical things that come into play or certain things that a pharmaceutical company can do or advocate or push if something is defined as a disease?
You know, I think that this is a sort of a gray area. I think that the way things work in this country is that if you can get your drug approved for a condition or a dysfunction or a disorder, then you can go ahead and promote that drug for that condition or disease or disorder or illness or dysfunction. But I guess it's my contention that we're just starting to call, you know, everything a disease.
Well, one of the interesting things is, does your book deal with male pattern balding?
Baldness is not one of the conditions, but certainly some people argue that because the drugs are available for trying to reverse the process of balding, that there have been attempts to suggest that baldness is somehow a medical condition.
And I imagine that a doctor then can prescribe medicine for something that's been defined as a disease.
That's right. And so with baldness, just take that example. I remember in Australia when one of the drug companies was launching one of their new drugs for baldness. And typically this is what happens. In the lead up to the launch of a new drug, the drug company will help so-called raise awareness about the condition for which the drug is to be treated. And so there were all these figures and statements in the Australian media at the time suggesting that baldness caused terrible emotional trauma, and you had experts from something called the International Hair Research Institute suggesting that men were suffering enormously from this problem. And of course the whole thing was orchestrated by the drug industry and the drug company and its PR house, its public relations arm. And so really what I'm trying to expose in this book is just some of the sort of subterranean marketing strategies, some of the strategies that we don't often see, we don't often see the strings being pulled behind the scenes.
Well, give us another example of another one of these, the illnesses that you deal with in your book.
I think, you know, this is, again, probably going to be controversial for many of your listeners, but one of the chapters is about the menopause, and it's a look at how over the last 30 to 40 years there's been an attempt to portray the menopause as if it was a disease, and they are the explicit words that were used in a famous book back in the 60s, Feminine Forever, where a doctor, a famous celebrity gynecologist, wrote this book arguing that the menopause was a, quote, disease of estrogen deficiency that needed to be treated with hormones, with estrogen and hormones. And you can make a straight line through to today, and celebrities including Lauren Hutton being employed by Wyeth, the manufacturers of hormone replacement therapy, helping to change the perception of what the menopause is. And so the advertising that celebrity has been doing in recent years is to suggest that menopause is some sort of condition of estrogen loss.
As opposed to
a natural part of every woman's life. And I think that this is not to deny the reality of the symptoms of menopause, but it's really about how we think about these things. And do we think about the normal processes of our lives as if they were somehow a medical condition? And I think that the menopause is a classic example, and in the book I've used the menopause to talk about the way celebrities are used. Because as I mentioned, Lauren Hutton was employed by the makers of hormone replacement therapy to really change the way people think about that condition. And for their efforts, they won awards from the marketing industry.
There were beautiful commercials. They really were very powerful and beautiful commercials that really eased women into the concept of using drugs to deal with this phase that they all go through.
Well, there you go. I never saw any of the TV ads. I saw some of the print ads, and I talk about them in the book. But of course, the problem there, as you may know, Liz, is that the long-term risks and benefits of hormone replacement therapy were pretty well unknown mm-hmm. until fairly recently.
Until women started taking the drugs.
Yes.
And so they had this whole group of women taking the drugs. But also, I wonder, Ray, I wonder if perhaps someone sat down 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and crunch the numbers and realize that at the point where we are right now, chronologically, that this is when the baby boomers are all walking into the same phase of life, and that's a whole lot of product, a whole lot of people to sell products to.
Big market. Look, hormone replacement therapy, and there's a number of drugs in this class, is one of the biggest selling classes of drugs of all time.
Really?
There's no question. This is one of the biggest markets ever. But as people might know, in 2002, we finally got one of the first big top quality scientific studies. And it found that it may well be that for many women, the risks of taking long-term hormone replacement outweigh the benefits because of a slightly raised increase of heart disease and stroke and breast cancer. And so, you know, it may well have been that for generations people have been taking something that does them a little bit more harm than good. And so the sales of hormone replacement therapy have dropped dramatically since 2002.
And I'm talking to Ray Moynihan, Selling Sickness. He's coming to us from San Francisco, California. This is Liz Brown. We'll be back to talk with Ray about this whole concept of disease mongering. Stay with us.
Hello, morning. Now, when does the fun begin? Goodbye, morning. Sorry it had to end. I see you cry just a little too long. Be strong. Hello, morning. I sure missed you last night.
For the past several years, you've heard WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its events and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@wgnu.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Registration is currently underway for the YWCA School Age Care Before After School program. The program caters to children ages 5 through 12 in the University City and Normandy school districts and provides a safe haven for children and also an educational, fun, interactive environment with a fully trained staff. For more information, contact Bev Pfeiffer-Harms at 314-531-1115, extension 237. News for parents and children from WGNU.
Your computer can bring you the gospel voice of choice every weekend online at WGNU.net.
Looking for time made just for you? Wanting to hear from some young people who are cool and well-informed? Have some questions adults just can't seem to answer? There is a place for you on WGNU Radio. Tune in Sunday nights at 5:30. You'll hear teens talk about stuff teens understand. Find out about the latest in music, sports, and other issues that matter. Finally, a talk show for teens, about teens, by teens on 9:20 a.m. 5:30 Sunday nights. Sponsored by the St. Charles Lwanga Center.
And now, today's diary entry from the Girl Blog from Iraq.
Wednesday, April 14th, 2004. There's been a lot of criticism about the way Al Arabiya and Al Jazeera were covering the riots and fighting in Fallujah and the south of this last week. Some American spokesman for the military was ranting about the spread of anti-Americanism through networks like the above mentioned. I think Western news networks are far too tame. They show the Hollywood version of war. Strong troops in uniform, hostile Iraqis being captured and made to face justice, and the White House turkey posing with the Thanksgiving turkey, which is just fine. But what about the destruction that comes with war and occupation? What about the death? I don't mean just the images of dead Iraqis scattered all over, but dead Americans too. People should have to see those images.
Riverbend, the girl blog from Iraq, was a computer programmer before the war. Not anymore. In her diary of the occupation, she describes daily the new, confined way of life, especially for women amid the mayhem. Planning on going somewhere Thursday? Well, don't leave till after the morning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Thursday morning at 7, we have the president of NARAL, Nancy Keenan, and she's going to try and explain why President Bush asked, of all people, Jerry Falwell for advice on who to put on the Supreme Court. Then Thursday morning at 8, the wake-up call welcomes Ray McGovern, a former CIA agent and analyst. He'll share his expertise on how the government manipulates intelligence information to make it say whatever they want it to say, which is how we got into the war in Iraq. Remember, on Thursday, the place to be is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net, the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Got something within me. Oh, 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 oh yes. So something within me. Something within me. That vanishes me. Something within me, Lord, that I can't explain. Oh, all I know, I thank my God I've got something. Oh, something within me.
Welcome back. Welcome back to the Wake Up Call, Liz Brown. And I am talking to author Ray Moynihan, author and journalist, author of Selling Sickness, How Pharmaceutical Companies Are Turning Us All into Patients. And he's joining us from San Francisco, California. Ray, when we talk about this issue of disease mongering, how widespread is this practice and what kind of companies are involved in it?
Really, Liz, I think that all of the large drug companies have learned, particularly over the last 20 to 30 years, that the big markets are really among the relatively healthy. And so while drug companies make and market drugs for genuinely ill people, drugs that save life, that extend life, that ameliorate suffering, they are also, I think, all very keen to try and get their drugs to people who are relatively healthy because that's where the big markets are. And so you see mild, what we used to think of as mild problems, mild stomach problems, are now a symptom of, you know, of irritable bowel syndrome.
Mm.
You know, we see mild depression as now something that should be treated with drugs. We see, you know, hyperactive children being categorized as having ADHD and should be treated with drugs. Now, in each case, there are people severely affected who benefit greatly. But my argument is, and the argument of many people within the medical establishment, is that we're just turning too many ordinary people into patients.
Well, let's talk about this. They even have a new disease for having a runny nose?
That's right. Allergic rhinitis.
Allergic rhinitis?
So
when my mother said, go wipe your runny nose, she should have been referring to it as go address your allergic rhinitis.
Yes, it's kind of where will it end? And obviously the part of the problem here in this country, in the United States, is unlike most other countries in the developed world, you allow drug companies to advertise their prescription drugs direct to the public.
And that's only a recent phenomenon.
It is. It really took off in the 90s in a big way.
And no other country does this? No other industrialized country does this?
New Zealand. New Zealand, you know, that little country down near Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Without wanting to be offensive to my colleagues in New Zealand, New Zealand and the U.S. are the only countries in the developed world that allow full-blown advertising. And New Zealand is having a very vigorous debate about whether to try and wind back some of the direct-to-consumer advertising.
Now, Ray, can you put the genie back in the bottle?
Well, you know, in this country, I don't know if you can. I really don't know because, I mean, the political power of the drug industry, you know, it's not the subject of this book, but that's the subject of other books, and that is sort of, you know, unmatched. The political power of the drug companies in Washington would rival the power of the military companies. I mean, and so any attempt, I think, to try and wind back all of those advertisements would be very difficult. And I think probably a lot of Americans, you know, don't mind so much. They see it as a good way of getting information about what's out there, you know.
And in terms of a comparison of what the impact of this type of unfettered, if you will, pharmaceutical advertising,
yes,
when we do a comparison between New Zealand and the United States, do we see similar issues, similar problems, similar stuff?
We do see similar things. We see a huge amount of concern within the New Zealand population and within the general practitioners there, the doctors there, that these ads are sort of distorting the understanding of health problems and are channeling people towards a very narrow set of solutions. Because this is part of the problem here, that the advertising, you know, the advertising of cholesterol-lowering drugs will sort of channel you in a narrow direction towards drugs, when in fact there are many ways in which one can reduce one's risk of future heart disease. You know, obvious ones: diet, lifestyle changes, more exercise, quitting smoking, all that kind of stuff. And so that's one of the problems in New Zealand, that people are concerned that this advertising is really narrowing people's understanding of both the causes of disease and solutions to them. And not to mention the cost issue. I mean, that's the other thing, is that advertising works. And so the direct-to-consumer advertising of drugs is causing, you know, is helping to cause large increases in the numbers of prescriptions.
Now, we also have an issue here in the United States of not only, it's almost like this was a perfect storm, that the rules that allow drug companies to directly market to people via television and print,
yes,
and magazines almost happened at the same time that we've had these bullet train drug approval tests. I mean, you don't have to test the
yes,
drugs as long as you used to in order to determine if they're helpful or harmful. Did that happen in New Zealand too, or is that happening in New Zealand too?
You know, Liz, I don't think so. I think that, you know, I'm not exactly certain of the New Zealand regulatory structure, but
those two things have worked together here in the United States.
You're absolutely right. I mean, what you had in the 1990s in the States was, you're right, you had two changes. You had the introduction, in fact, of industry funding of the FDA in the early 90s. And part of the, so industry would now, drug companies would now essentially pay to get their drugs reviewed. And part of that was that the FDA had to speed things up. And part of that came about because everyone was extremely worried about HIV/AIDS, and people wanted to get therapies out there as quickly as possible. That's part of the motivation, a very genuine, valid motivation. But what we saw through the 90s were several high-profile cases of drugs that were rushed to market and ultimately were hurting people and had to be pulled off. And in fact, there's an LA Times journalist called David Willman who wrote a classic piece called Seven Deadly Drugs, won a Pulitzer for it, and really has helped change the way we think about the FDA and has helped remind us all of the need for much tougher regulation. So you're absolutely right.
And don't we also have the problem with this direct marketing, with this concept of creating, making a runny nose into a disease? We now have people, because they've been marketed to, just like you go into a grocery store after you've seen a commercial for a new box of Wheat Trix, people are going to their doctor's offices and demanding these drugs.
That's right. And I think that there's a chapter in the book on direct-to-consumer advertising, and I think I say in there that Americans now on average see 10 television drug ads per day.
Really? Really?
10 per day. There's been studies of that. And, you know, the accumulative effect of that is I think, quite extraordinary. Because you're right, people rush into their doctor, well, not rush, but people go to their doctors and ask for pills by name. That's one issue. But I guess what I want to say is, you know, just what is the impact? What is the cumulative impact of all that advertising on the way we think about ourselves, on the way we think about our bodies, on the way we think about our loved ones? We're being told daily that we might suffer from erectile dysfunction, female sexual dysfunction, irritable bowel syndrome, social anxiety disorder, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, depression. You know, and with all of these things, the symptoms are common symptoms that many people experience. And it just strikes me that we may be putting disease at the center of life.
Mm.
And, you know, I think we may look back on this period and just think, what were we thinking?
let me get to this car phone. Marty, you have a question for our guest, Ray Moynihan?
Yes. I noticed that there's been a feeding frenzy, like your guest is saying, on the people in general, just to have them believe that all these diseases are out here. And with the cutting down of the rainforest and everything else, I know that there's a lot of natural remedies that can cure or help people with a lot of these problems. And there was a gentleman on TV that has a book about this. And every time he tries to promote his book, the FDA and people, because they say the only thing that can take care of a disease or something is a drug, the natural remedies are not looked at as drugs, so they suppress these remedies and don't allow them to come back. And the more they suppress these things, the more they take away natural remedies, the more they cut down the rainforests that might have cures for everybody. It's like they're more herding people into more of a control situation where they control everything from AIDS cures and everything else to keep people hooked, like you were saying, like drug addicts to these drug companies.
Thanks for your call, Marty.
You're welcome.
And Ray, I'd like you to hold your comment on what Marty had to say, because
we
have to take a break.
Okay.
I'm talking to Ray Moynihan. He's joining us from San Francisco, California. He is the author of Selling Sickness, How Pharmaceutical Companies Are Turning Us All Into Patients. He's also a journalist. My name is Liz Brown. This is The Wake Up Call. We'll be back. Stay with us.
And Mom won't watch the news at night. There's too much stuff that's making her cry. We need some help down here on earth. A thousand prayers, a million words, but one voice was heard.
This is your wake-up call global news update. Dateline Lagos. the U.S. military has announced plans to train thousands of African troops in an effort to offset gains made by Al-Qaeda and other terrorist operations on the continent. The plan will cost $500 million over a seven-year period and will involve the countries of Tunisia, Nigeria, Morocco, Senegal, Mauritania, Niger, Algeria, Chad, and Mali. Special forces teams will be sent to Africa to begin the training, but the American units do not have much background in Africa and are also short on people who speak French and Arabic. Plus, the enemy they're seeking is elusive across a vast, desolate terrain, and cooperation will also have to come from authoritarian government heads and corrupt military dictatorships. And Dateline Washington. It's a great time to be a Halliburton. The company says its subsidiary, Kellogg Brown & Root, made a 284% profit during the second quarter of this year. Despite a number of scandals plaguing KBR military contracts, the Pentagon still saw fit to give the company $70 million in bonus fees for work it described to be good or very good in logistical support of troops fighting in Iraq and Afghanistan. Audits have shown that Kellogg Brown & Root has $1 billion worth of questionable expenses and another $400 million worth of unsupported expenses, meaning there's no documentation for them. Both combat theaters have thus far cost taxpayers well over $300 billion to this date. And the Congressional Budget Office is estimating that if we stay involved, we could look at spending another $500 billion over the next 10 years. One former counterterrorism expert for the CIA commented that Osama bin Laden doesn't have to win this fight. He'll just bleed us to death. This is your wake-up call global news update.
Hello, this is Regina Ruiz. I would like to invite you to tune in to my broadcast on Sunday afternoons here on WGNU. The program is called Talk to Me. I will be delivering a message to build your faith and improve your life and will be taking your calls live. Listen every Sunday afternoon at 1:30 and talk to me, Regina Ruiz, right here on AM 920 WGNU.
Hey, what's up, Doc?
To find out the answer to that long-standing question, ask the doc. Dr. Pat, that is. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to noon, call in and talk to Dr. Pat about whatever's on your mind. So if you're wondering, what's up, doc? Find out for 2 hours every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to noon with Dr. Pat here on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at WGNU.net.
There's a silent epidemic affecting approximately 4 million Americans. Hepatitis C, a blood-borne disease that infects the liver, often goes undetected since people with the disease can feel and appear perfectly healthy. Less than 30% of all cases are diagnosed. I'm Congressman Jesse Jackson, Jr. You may not know if you're infected with hepatitis C, transmitted primarily through direct exposure to infected blood, perhaps by a needle or even through piercings or tattoos. Others at risk may include people who have had blood transfusions prior to 1992. Symptoms are most commonly fatigue and depression. Liver failure and even death may occur in 20% of chronic cases. There is no vaccine available, but there are treatments effective in over half of the patients treated. African Americans have the highest prevalent rates for hepatitis C among all racial and ethnic groups in the United States. While treatment has been a challenge within this population, it's important to get the facts and understand how this illness works. For more information, contact the American Liver Foundation at 800-GO-LIVER or at liverfoundation.org.
Planning on going somewhere Thursday? Well, don't leave till after the morning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Thursday morning at 7, we have the president of NARAL, Nancy Keenan, and she's going to try and explain why President Bush asked, of all people, Jerry Falwell for advice on who to put on the Supreme Court. Then Thursday morning at 8, the wake-up call welcomes Ray McGovern, a former CIA agent and analyst. He'll share his expertise on how the government manipulates intelligence information to make it say whatever they want it to say, which is how we got into the war in Iraq. Remember, on Thursday, the place to be is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning morning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
So long when somebody here
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 4540400 is the phone number, 1-877-920-WGNU. I am talking to journalist and author Ray Moynihan, joining us from San Francisco. He's the author of Selling Sickness, How Pharmaceutical Companies Are Turning Us All into Patients. Ray, welcome back.
Thank you, Liz.
We had a caller on the lab that talked us off to the last break.
That's right.
And I wanted to get your comments on what he said.
Yeah, look, he talked about the loss of biodiversity when rainforests and other areas are destroyed. It's an absolutely valid point. It's not something I've investigated, but those rainforests, and we have a lot of those in Australia too, just are so rich in potential potential cures and therapies. I think it's important to remember, though, that a lot of pharmaceuticals are incredibly valuable. No matter what we might think about the marketing strategies and the political power of Big Pharma, a lot of the drugs are safe and effective and extremely valuable. But having said that, you know, for many people, for many of the things that they experience in their lives, an alternative therapy or a complementary medicine will be as effective,
and we're not getting that message. We're not getting a balanced method, message about this.
Well, certainly not through television advertising. Mm-hmm. You're not. the producers of complementary medicines often don't have as pockets as deep as the drug companies.
And so, what are Okay, this we know that these companies are marketing to us. We know that,
yes,
that there is an effort to turn normal things into diseases,
yes,
that can make money off of them. What are the consequences of the? What are the long term consequences of these types of practices?
Well, I think that one consequence is that we're just spending more and more and more of our money, of our savings, of our national income on drugs. I mean, we're already spending 15% of GDP on healthcare. That's far more than any other developed nation in the world.
But how can we factor out which part of that are legitimate uses of it and which part
well,
of it
that,
do?
That is the problem, Liz. But people are doing that. There are, within the medical establishment, there are now very sophisticated strategies for trying to work out, you know, what's appropriate care and what's inappropriate care. There are some folks up at Dartmouth in New Hampshire who've done exactly this, not specifically with drugs, but just across the board. And they suggest that perhaps one-third of what is done to people within the medical system here, one-third could be stopped and no one would be harmed.
But when we have the head of a company like Merck saying that he wanted Merck to be more like chewing, like Wrigley's. If Merck could make drugs for healthy people, it could sell to everyone.
That's right. That's a quote from the Merck chief executive retiring back in the 70s, Henry Gadsden. And that's exactly what he told Fortune magazine. And really, that's what the drug companies would like to do is sell to everyone. And, you know, with things that the advertising campaigns with Viagra now are getting dangerously close to essentially targeting every man and targeting every relationship and saying, you know, if you want your sex life to be better, take this drug.
And I'm telling you, Ray, those drugs that advertise and I'm not even talking about Viagra, but there's this new drug out there. They're incredible commercials. I mean, they talk about 36 hours. 36 hours. You know, when the moment is right, 36 hours.
Yeah. You know, of course, the other thing is that some of the best brains in filmmaking are employed in advertising, as you know. And so, you know, the drug companies can spend a lot of, you know, throw a lot of cash at these ads. And so you have people who really are at the top of the tree in filmmaking and documentary making who end up helping produce these things. So,
What does the average Joe and Jane Blow do about this? How does the average consumer out there who's involved in their life and their jobs, how do they decipher through all of this?
Look, I just think if you're really interested in learning about your health and what you can do to improve it, the last thing you would do would be to turn to a drug advertisement. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just does not make sense that a drug company would be giving you the full picture. And so this is a pretty, obvious thing to say, but I just think that there must be other more independent places to go. And I think the other thing that people have to now do is be skeptical if their doctor offers them a diagnosis or a medical label. You have to be skeptical because the doctors, as we haven't talked about this, but the other part of the book is the huge entanglement between doctors and drug companies. And so I think it's difficult to sort of lose some of that trust we had, but I think we just have to be skeptical about whether or not we even need that particular label or that diagnosis that we're being offered.
And I want to thank you very much, Ray Moynihan, author of Selling Sickness, How Pharmaceutical Companies Are Turning Us All Into Patients. Ray, where can people get your book?
They should be able to get it at their local store, if not Amazon. It's put out by Nation Books, which is based in Manhattan. And it's launched it the other night over there in Manhattan. It was a great launch. I think it's going to be on C-SPAN TV soon, too. So,
very good.
But thank you very much, Liz. Great to talk to you.
And it was great having you, Ray. Take care. Listen, folks, Liz Brown, Wake Up Call. I will be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you, the people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember that.
I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Karen Chase. Moments ago, the U.S. space program roared to life again.
Three engines up and burning. 3, 2, 1, and liftoff of Space Shuttle Discovery. Beginning America.
The space shuttle is back in business. 2.5 years after the Columbia tragedy, now Discovery climbs off the launch pad atop a pillar of smoke and fire. Slowly at first, now...